How we sounding? Good? Best show? Good, Mike? Here at thebestshow.net? Gearing up. Oh, gotta do that, right? Let's get everything set. Everybody here on
The Best Show over at thebestshow.net.
And I want you all to know
that we will be here for 3 hours.
And, guys, I'm excited to let you know. Let me put the bed music down here. I'm excited to let everybody know that tonight's episode of The Best Show is brought to you by Squarespace. How about that? Right?
And, you know, later in the show, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl and all the commercials in the Super Bowl. And Jeff Bridges had a commercial in the Super Bowl where he was hitting a thing next to people sleeping. I guess that's like a meditation thing he was doing, I think. I don't know. I don't meditate, so I don't know. But I do know that Jeff Bridges is partnered with Squarespace, and he has an album of relaxing sounds and guided meditations and stories up at dreamingwithjeff.com, which is his Squarespace website. And you can go over there to dreamingwithjeff.com and listen to it for free. You pay what you want and get the album. So you can go check it out and you get meditate maybe a little bit, get your head straight. Then go over to squarespace.com, build your website, and enter in Best Show. The offer code is Best Show at checkout to get 10% off on your website. And guys, Squarespace, start here, go anywhere, and now The Best Show is going to start here.
Jersey, back again.
Chaz Show. What do you think about that, Mike? Ugh. I tell you, man. Does not take long. This guy. Yeah. I think it might be snowing. You might want to get out, you might want to get a jump on things, Mike. Catch the bus. If you're allowed. Are you allowed back on buses? You're allowed back on them? Yes, okay, good. Well, finally, they lifted the ban on AP Mike getting on buses. No, that's not true. This guy can ride any bus he wants, anytime he wants. You kidding? You think this guy can't just get on a bus, do what he wants? You're crazy. He'll ride a bus all day, all night. I was at the airport on that, came back from San Francisco when the snowstorm started. And, you know, they have that little tram type thing that goes from terminal to terminal. And it kind of made me think, what happened if you just went to the airport and rode that thing all day? Would they catch you? Would they just be like, all right, enough. Get off the tram. Or would they even notice? Might be like, this might be a reboot of the terminal. Maybe I get a meeting at Amblin. I get in there. I pitch them. Guys, we all know the terminal with Tom Hanks was a 5-star flop. But I'm going to bring the terminal franchise back. I got two words. Not two. I got two names. The problem with the terminal was it was one dude stuck at the airport. Need two dudes. That's the problem. That's where the terminal was off target. Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum. Stuck at Newark Airport. Riding the tram all the livelong day. Although that tram thing is outside of security, so they could feasibly go anywhere they wanted. Unless they get sentenced to ride the tram by a judge. Maybe a judge needs to teach them a lesson and makes them ride the tram all day long. Does that sound like a movie? Not all day long. I sentence you to ride the tram, Newark Airport tram, for 72 hours. There we go. There's the crack. Crack of the Coors Light can. The Joe DiMaggio of Coors Light. AP Mike. He loves the echo in this new place with that can. Don't you love it, don't you? Yeah. It's like Elvis Presley doing Heartbreak Hotel. That's the acoustics you got going with the Coors can out there. Yeah, that's your Heartbreak Hotel. Literally heartbreak, though, that you're drinking that much Coors. It's heartbreak, and soon you'll be living in a hotel. No. Who paints this picture of this guy like this? Who does it? How'd you end up with this image, Mike? I don't know. I resent whoever started this. I want to punch him out. Whoever started this thing that Mike's a lush, a common drunkard. No, I don't like it. I don't know. Punch him out if I figure out who did that. Might have been that squirrel who used to hang out here. He's gone, by the way. He's gone for good. Him and his green friend, They're never coming back. What do you think about that, Mike? Yeah, well, don't cheer too loudly. They'll be back. They'll be back. Drop, but don't worry. Don't get too... It's like the opposite of Tinkerbell when you're like, everybody... I saw a thing. Well, first of all, let me say the music we heard before I start talking about the production of... which one's Tinkerbell from? Peter Pan. Before I talk about the production of Peter Pan I saw as a child. Musically, we're making a little shift here in things, so we're in what we call the... kind of like a zone, like a pocket here where we're going to figure some stuff out in terms of the music on the show. So this week, we went to the amazing Free Music Archive to play music from for the show over at freemusicarchive.org, I believe it is. We heard a couple things from the Cherry Blossom Clinic, hosted by Terry T, good friend of mine, good friend. King Tuff appeared on Terry T's show, the Cherry Blossom Clinic. That was Keep On Moving from a Cherry Blossom Clinic live session in 2012. And prior to that, we heard the band White Fence. From their self-titled album, the song Destroy Everything, which is also at the Free Music Archive. How about that? How about that? Who was that, Mel Allen? How about that? Remember that? Mel Allen. Back when, like a baseball announcer, you couldn't bump that guy from the booth. He'd be 110, he'd still be in there calling a game. You have to wait for him to physically exit the planet before you can get someone else in there. How about that? At the plate. Boog Powell is at the plate. Yeah, Boog Powell's not in this game. He's not in this game, Mel. Mel, the game ended 4 hours ago. You're watching the guys putting the tarp on the field. Starting us off also from the Free Music Archive, we heard the Raining Sound from a Cherry Blossom Clinic session from 2004. If You Can't Give Me Everything, one of my favorite bands. Those are three of my favorite bands. Raining Sound, White Fence, and King Tuff. All good stuff, man. And you know what? Also, not that I'm sidebarring the sidebar from the sidebar, but my bro, Jake Fugelnest, who used to do a podcast called the Fugelnest Filed, F-I-L-E-D, the Fugelnest Filed, He directed a King Tuff video. Really good video. You check it out over at Funny or Die. How's my voice sound tonight, Mike? Crisp. Oh, I like that. That guy's coming back. I'm warming up to him again. So let's follow the logic path back here. Where did I end on this little journey I was taking? Before Boog Powell. How about that? Let's walk it all the way back. Let's walk the logic back. I feel like Backstrom here, thinking through a mystery. You know the way Backstrom solves all those cases? You gonna get him this week, Backstrom? Go, Backstrom, go! You can do it. Piece it together, Backstrom. What is a Backstrom? Oh, boy. Boog Powell Anyone, help me, please walk this back. Someone in the chat or on Twitter. Mike's already out of the... He's already checked out for the night. I can't. He's gone. What's that? Mel Allen. Okay, yeah. Not Mel Allen. That I'm going to put that under the Boog Powell topic. Jeepers creepers. Can't sidebar the sidebar. San Francisco. Was that it? San Francisco. Yes. I was in San Francisco. Very nice city. Very nice city. A lot of good people came out. We did Oh, Tinkerbell. There you go. We did there was a tribute to Sharpling and Worcester at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. And that was fantastic to be there for. And thanks to everybody who came out. Tinkerbell, when I was a kid, I went to the Garden State Arts Center. In New Jersey, there's this thing called the Garden State Arts Center. It's the outdoor arena or the outdoor venue, the shed. Not a shed, whatever. The place where the Beach Boys play every summer. You know where the Beach Boys just, you know they're going to be there. They probably have it booked for like 35 more years, the Beach Boys. I was a kid, I went to see a production of Peter Pan. And they have this thing, and Tinkerbell, I guess, is like a little... What's Tinkerbell? Like an elf or something? A pixie? I should ask Jason the studio dude, the studio. He was just at Disney World. I'll talk to him about that. We'll get him on that. So this guy, it was at Disney World. It was like hostage videos of him with every character... Expect him to be holding up a newspaper in front of Donald Duck. He was like, this Facebook, it was like, here's me with Pluto. Here's me with Goofy. But anyway, Tinkerbell was like a badminton thing, the shuttlecock. And they lowered Tinkerbell down. It's like... And then if the audience cheers, Tinkerbell can come back. So get all the kids clapping and everything. And then somebody must have made a mistake or something because they did not bring Tinkerbell back. It was like a total blunder in the show. Tinkerbell did not return for that depiction of Peter Pan. Which I think is they're going off book to not have Tinkerbell return. All right, you kids, you got to believe. Let's everybody clap to get Tinkerbell back. And everybody claps, Tinkerbell never showed up again. I should sue the Garden State Arts Center for trauma. Still thinking about that. Maybe that's where it all went wrong with me, was that when Tinkerbell didn't come back. At that production of Peter Pan. And the funny thing is, when you're a kid, you're thinking of it, you're like, how could these professionals make a mistake like that? And then, like, you realize who makes things, and it's like, no, it's some 23-year-olds who are like,
did I not bring Tinkerbell back?
Oh, no. Whoops. Just so you know, later in the show, next 20 minutes or so, we're going to have the host of On Cinema at AdultSwim.com, Greg Turkington, I guess the new host of On Cinema, formerly the co-host of the show. I guess he's now the sole host. We'll find out more about that. Greg Turkington will check in during the show. And... we'll find all about the new season of On Cinema, which I believe will air on AdultSwim.com. That's later in the show. used to be hosted with Tim Heidecker used to be the primary host, and I guess he called Greg his co-host or something like that. It's a really great show where they review movies, kind of like an updated Siskel and Ebert type show. But we'll find out more about what's coming up with them in 15 minutes or so. We'll get Greg on the line. And I know you heard it at the top of the show, guys. I'm going to say it again. Did you know? Did you know that today's episode of The Best Show is sponsored by Squarespace? Did you? Well, know it. And Squarespace teamed up with the Jeff Bridges, right? The guy, you know, the dude in the Big Lebowski. Guy from all kinds of movies. And he put an album out on his website called dreamingwithjeff.com. And it's got guided meditations and stories and relaxing sounds. And you can get that album. It's available for download at dreamingwithjeff.com. You can download it for free, or you can pay however much you choose to pay to download it. And all proceeds from the download go to No Kids Hungry, to the charity No Kids Hungry. That's good, right? Help charity out. And you guys have bought worse albums for less noble reasons. So, yeah, go to check his album out over at dreamingwithjeff.com. And you can... he had a Super Bowl commercial where he was doing the chanting in the room with the people while they were sleeping. I guess that was meditation. I gotta start meditating. I don't know. So you go there, go to dreamingwithjeff.com, then you're all wound up now and super inspired. You go to squarespace.com, start building your own website so you get all your stuff out in the world, get your album out there. And you can build that website with a free trial. No credit card required. So you go over there, you build it. Easy to customize. They got templates. Templates or templates. I choose to say templates. Others will say templates. And those templates look great on any device that you may check out a website on. Squarespace is using their newest platform, Squarespace 7. You got all kinds of, they got the integration with Google Apps. So it's, you can show up all over, all different devices. They got a partnership with Getty Images. So there's 40 million high quality images available. Easy to use, versatile. So what you do, you go over to squarespace.com. You start building your portfolio, your personal site. Put a store. You want to do your store? You can do your store at squarespace.com because it comes with a free commerce option. Maybe you want to do a fan site, right? An AP Mike fan site. Put that up. Or the Best Show. I'm going to say do a Best Show fan site. Don't do an AP Mike fan site. And you're putting the thing up, you're putting your site up, you need some help. Squarespace has 24/7 support to help you out. So guys, what you do, go to squarespace.com, you build your dream website. And when you're at the checkout, you enter best show at checkout. You get 10% off on your purchase. And it's also a really great way of showing your support for The Best Show. Squarespace, start here. Go anywhere. Go support them. Let them know The Best Show. Let them know. The number, 201-332-3484. It's a moot point, though, because all the lines are full right now. Mike, who's good here? Your idea good or my idea good? Your idea of good. I will find out if it's my idea of good. Besho, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Tom. It's Jason from Long Island City, Queens, calling.
Jason from Long Island City, Queens.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. What's up, Jason?
Everything's great. I'm really curious about this 2016 presidential election we have coming up next year. Very excited by it.
Uh-huh.
And I know one of the biggest candidates out there is your governor, Chris Christie.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to kind of envision maybe through your eyes what a Chris Christie presidency would look like for the rest of us non-New Jerseyites.
What's your name again, young man?
My name is Jason.
Jason. I'm going to just ask you. You're not going to be able to hear what I'm going to say to these. Hey, how does this Claude sound? Is he loud enough? Good. Welcome back, my friend.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear a thing.
Jason?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
What month is it?
I think it's February now, February 2015, which means it's a year away from the big election. And Chris Christie is getting a lot of traction.
No, it's not a year away. It's a year and a half away. What do you care? It's almost 2 years.
Numerically, it's a year, but I know November's the election.
Oh, you know that, huh?
I think.
Look, man. You know what I think? I don't care. Who cares? It's 100 things are going to change before that election. Go look on your computer. Look up and see who was in the lead in any of the races 22 months before the election. I guarantee that person was not the candidate.
All right, so maybe Herman Cain at this point last cycle, but Chris Christie's got a lot of charisma.
No, he doesn't.
He's in Dallas at the football game.
So?
So he's really like rubbing elbows with the elite.
I don't even know what to say to this. It's like you're creating words meant to get a rise out of me. He's rubbing elbows with the elite. He's with the owner of a football team, the elite. Jerry Jones. The only thing he'd be the elite at is a screening of Smokey and the Bandit. Jerry Jones.
I'd like to see that.
I would too. That's what they should use that stadium for. The world's biggest screening of Smokey and the Bandit.
I'd buy tickets.
Have you called before?
I have. I've called a couple of times before. I've been lucky enough to talk to you before.
How did those calls go?
I think they went really well. I don't know. Okay. I don't think in the scope of the Best Show universe, I think I got gumped. I got bad companied.
Uh-huh.
This time I'm hoping for a better outcome.
So you got bad companied once. That was one call.
Yes.
And what happened on, you called, but it was the only time you called?
Yes. No, I called another time and I got a...
You got hung up on. Just like you did right now, pal. What is it with these guys, man? Can you imagine? I can't think of anything more boring than focusing on an election that's 2 years away. Why would you do that to yourself? It's like, it's worthless. Nothing tracks now.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
I'm a political junkie. I like to just know all the stuff.
I want nothing to do with the political anything anymore. I'm done. Political. Get all excited. Throw them all out. That's what I say. Throw them all out. Who's good here, Mike? Who's next? Two. Best show, you're on the air. Welcome back.
Yes, I'm back.
I have never been. I'm so happy. I never thought I would say, Spike, I am so happy to hear the sound of your voice.
I think a lot of people have been wanting me to call for some time.
They have. You played it perfectly. I gotta say, you played it perfectly. You held out. You didn't act desperate. And you came back when you made people want it. Then suddenly you're back. Now everybody's over the moon. They forget that you're the worst caller ever.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I would, but... So how are you?
Not that I'm officially elderly now. You know.
Yes, you had a birthday. Happy birthday.
Yes.
Ha, right? Ha. Ha. Happy... I'm not going to sing happy birthday to you. But I will wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you. Now that I'm old now.
I don't want the Hill Sisters crawling all over me. Do happy what? Birthday.
Uh-huh.
The Hill Sisters, they wrote happy birthday.
Oh, yes.
I don't want them knocking on my door for their coin. So what did you do for your birthday, Spike?
Oh, I walked around the city. You know, I wanted to go to the movies, but the only movie that was playing was a movie I really didn't want to see.
What movie was that?
The Boy Next Door.
The Boy Next Door, that's the movie starring a Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, that person, yeah.
I gotta say, that movie does not look so good.
No, that's why I wouldn't want to see it anyway.
You wouldn't want to see it?
You know, the thought of a 60-year-old woman seducing a 16-year-old high school
60.
Kid.
60. I love how you round up so much. 60. She's not 60.
Oh, yeah, she's 60. Yeah, that woman from the Bronx is 60.
She is not 60, Spike.
Yeah, she is.
So you didn't want to see it?
I didn't want to see it, no. I don't watch her movies.
She's 45.
No, she's 60.
Okay, well, you know, you're the birthday boy. I'll go along with you. She's 60.
She's 60. She claims she's 45, but really she's 60.
Okay, all right. So you did not want to see that?
No.
But what, so you went around and you just were what, people watching? Is that what you're doing for your birthday?
More or less.
Now, when you people watch, is it you staring in windows?
No, I walk around and I ride the subway and I go to stores and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the normal stuff.
Yeah, you walk around, go to stores, people watch. You ever go to an apartment building and just press all the buzzers and then hope somebody buzzes you in?
No, I only do that to my building.
And then walk the halls? You've never done that?
Well, when I was a kid, I used to go to all the buildings in my complex and just walk around.
Mm-hmm. In your complex.
Yeah.
What else is new? We're already running out of gas here. It's been a year and a half since we've spoken. I'm already falling asleep.
Oh, nothing much. I just told Mike while I was waiting that I just got through watching The Flash.
The Flash, which is this show. This is the craziest thing that happened while in the year that the show was on. And did you miss the show while it was gone, Spike?
Yes.
You did, right?
Yeah.
I missed you. I'm glad to know you missed the show. So
yes,
this,
I missed it.
In the year that we were gone, I used to make fun of you about this show, The Flash, which stars this actor who you're quite the fan of, this guy John Wesley Shipp. And I would make every kind of comment you could make. This guy's washed up. I don't know what you're talking about. He's a nobody. He'll never work again. Lo and behold, I turn around, and he was on that show, The Flash. He was on the series, The Flash, back in when? The late
80s? 1990. 91.
And on that show, he played The Flash?
Yes.
Which is funny because he's The Flash and you're The Flasher. Right?
Okay,
they call you The Flasher. But that's a side note. We're not going to get into that right
yeah.
now. So I'm like, there's no way this guy ever works again. They bring this show back. They get a kid on it. There's a kid playing The Flash, right?
Yes.
But this guy, they put this guy, John Wesley Shipp, on the show. And he plays the Flash's dad or something?
Yes.
Papa Flash?
Sort of, yes.
Can he run fast?
Oh, no. He's not the one with the superpowers.
So it's not like he had them at some point, and now this other Flash has them.
Right, that's not the way they are writing the show.
How did the Flash get his powers?
He was doing an experiment, you know, because he was like a CSI type person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a storm.
Okay.
And he got zapped, and that's how, you know, he got his powers.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it ironic that you're a fan of this show where a guy runs fast?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you do pretty regularly.
I wouldn't go that far. It's not the only new show I like.
But like you're running from situation. You know what I mean? Like, uh-oh. Woo! Right? You hear like, whoop, whoop. Then suddenly you turn into the Flash.
Oh, that's what I've been told on occasion.
Now this guy, look, John Wesley Shipp, you've met this guy. I've seen pictures of you with this guy.
Yes.
Nice guy?
Oh, it's very nice.
Does he know you? Does he be like, hey, Spike?
Yes. When he saw me, he recognized me.
Mm-hmm. Sees you, gives a little nod. Another guy comes along.
Let me tell you about how things work at a TV show, Mr. Pupkin. You have to understand, an office is a workplace here, and a lot of people, and then you kind of get, the next thing you realize, you're out on the street. That ever happen?
No. Not to me.
No. Well, Spike, I've got to say, I'm overjoyed that you're back. I'm overjoyed. You played it right. I couldn't stand it when you called.
Yeah,
you know what? Fair enough. Laugh all you want. You won. I lost. You won, I lost. You played it right. You should have taken that and to a casino. And you would have cleaned up. You would have taken that poker face to a casino. You know what I mean? Take it, you bluff. You'd be like, hit me. Right? Hit me.
No, maybe I'll go to a casino.
Maybe I'll go with you. Me, you, and John Wesley Shipp. What do you think about that?
That would be interesting.
We got to get that together, right? The boys hitting the town, right?
Yeah.
Look out. Here we come, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here come the boys. Look out. Right? What do you think about that? We're like bad to the bone. Like that would play. Like they turn. Who's walking into the casino? Ba-na-na-na-na. And we walk through the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are those guys? We're the boys. Check it out. And then we go right to the Hangover slot machine, and we play the Hangover slot machine all night.
Is there a, I didn't know there was a Hangover slot machine.
Well, yes, there is.
Oh, where can I find it?
At your local casino.
Oh, so that would be Aqueduct or Yonkers.
Well, those are, look, I could do to you right now. You're going to do this about casinos? I could do right now what you do to everybody else when you badmouth their thing. When you talk about Staten Island, you goof on it. I could do the same thing to you talking about Yonkers Casino.
Oh, I've been there.
Oh no, I'm sure you have. I didn't dispute that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it's a trash casino.
I mean, I don't go there very often, but I have gone there.
Yeah, but it's trash. It's a trash magnet, right?
It depends on what hour you go.
No, any hour of the day. That's a 24-hour trash magnet. Yonkers Casino. There's no, what do you think the Rat Pack's going to be there? It's only going to be a pack of rats is going to be there. When the Rat Pack is at that casino, it's literally people running from a swarm of rats. And Mike just cracked another cold one. Spike, I'm going to say welcome back and thank you for coming back. And let's keep this conversation going all the way through the rest of our lives.
I would like that.
I appreciate you. Oh, I never felt so cowed. This guy cowed me. And I'm also a fan of your Instagram. You run the best Instagram in the biz.
I do have quite an interesting array of photos on Instagram.
Yes. I would agree with that. And you see, I like a lot of them, right? You see that?
Yes. I've seen.
Yeah. I'm a fan. You did it. You won me over.
And it took how many years?
When did you start calling? 9 years ago?
It's been close to 11.
Yeah, 11. 11. You and I. Old friends, we're like Simon and Garfunkel. Old friends, bookends, right?
Oh, well, yes, I do like Simon and Garfunkel.
All right, that's enough. Goodbye. I'm being told my guest is on the line. I'm going to bring this line up right now. Do I have Greg Turkington on the line?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm here.
This is Greg Turkington, who is the host, how should I refer to?
It's nice hearing that, actually. For the last 5 years, I've been the resident expert for the show On Cinema, and this season I've been bumped up to host, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and the show On Cinema is a movie review program that it runs on AdultSwim.com.
Yes, we give expert advice and expert opinions and basically a guide, a blueprint on what you should watch and what you should skip each week.
Mm-hmm. In terms of when you're going to head down to the movie theater.
Yeah. I mean, this is a show for movie buffs, but people who really know their stuff. And especially this new season, because I've got a new sidekick on the show who's actually, aside from myself, one of the country's foremost film experts, film buffs. And so it's going to be an exciting season.
Greg Turkington. And Greg, tell me when this season starts.
Well, you know, with these internet programs, you can watch it 24 hours a day. It's going to start tomorrow morning. They put it up on AdultSwim.com and also on YouTube. But really, the choice is yours as to when you want to watch it, similar to movies. You know, there's people who like matinees. There's people who like midnight movies. And then there's people like myself that like them all, you know?
Sure.
That's one of the good things.
Any time of day for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes a morning movie is nice. If you get a family movie like a Kramer versus Kramer, mm-hmm. Something at midnight would be more of your Dracula or maybe a Godzilla movie or Frankenstein, something like that.
Sure, sure. Now, yeah, a lot of different types of movies. That's a crazy thing about movies. There's so many different kinds.
And you know, a lot of them are classics, which is a genre into itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of my favorite things about On Cinema is you're five seasons in now. Is this going to be the sixth season starting?
This is the sixth season as a televised program. Now, mm-hmm. we started out strictly as a podcast, mm-hmm. and the ratings were so good and the interest was there that we started filming the show. And now it's the foremost movie show on television or on the internet at this point.
Yeah, and you guys are deep, and I guess I should say, when I say you guys, you were not the sole host of On Cinema.
No. The show was originally created by Tim Heidecker, who did a great job as the host. He didn't always have his movie expertise down, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But as a host, he was fantastic. Sometimes would get a little too into the personal melodramas, as I call them, the soap opera aspects of his own life. And, we're trying to get away from that and focus more on movies this season. Some of his medical problems and marital problems and things like that tended to overwhelm the movie coverage, which is really why people are tuning in. So this season, I can give you 100% assurance that it's all going to be movies all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Popcorn classics, Oscar picks, and, new movies. Movies come out every week. That's the nice thing about them.
Yeah, I want to let everybody know we have Greg Turkington on the show. He is the host. You are not a co-host now. You are in the host chair now.
I'm the host. Now, I used to be sort of the resident expert, and I got to say, from moving across the row to the host seat, I really started to feel for Tim, because it's hard to be a host and an expert, and that's why I've had to bring in a second expert to provide some expert commentary along with what I would give to the show.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk about this second person?
I'll tell you, we just taped the first episode, which airs tomorrow. We just taped it tonight.
Okay.
We just were able to sign this deal last night to get this expert, and I think it's best to keep it a surprise. A lot of people are excited to find out who this is going to be.
Oh.
I can only say it's somebody that you've all heard of and that you're all going to be very excited to see in that guest seat.
Mm-hmm. You know what's kind of funny about what you're doing is it's not unlike a movie what you're doing here in terms of your whoever's going to take that second chair. You're keeping it as like a thriller.
Like a thriller suspense, like I'd like to reference Alfred Hitchcock, who is the master of suspense and one
sure.
of my favorite filmmakers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's one of the great movie makers. And you can check out On Cinema. The sixth season starts tomorrow on AdultSwim.com. And Greg, I've been a fan of the show. You have always been kind of dedicated to really making sure you get the word out on what to see.
Movies are my passion. And as you know, I teach classes during the hiatus at some of the local rec centers and things like that to
mm-hmm.
help share my expertise with others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are there movies that you would recommend that maybe between the two seasons, between the fifth season and the sixth season, that you didn't get to review on the show that you would want people to make sure
yeah.
they check out?
I mean, every week there's several more like that. One that I think you're going to be hearing a lot about in the coming weeks is one of my favorite movies, and actually one of my Oscar picks for 2014 was Annie, which was a remake of an old black and white classic, and they've done it up great. And as you may have known, this is one of the scandals that we actually revealed on Cinema. It was not reported in any media. We were the first to break this story. You noticed that when they announced the Oscar nominations for Best Picture this year, they only announced 8. Now, last year there were 10 Best Picture nominations. The year before there were 10 Best Picture nominations. But the ratings on the Oscars have been going down steadily every year. So what they decided to do was to put out the 8 And then a day or two before the Oscars air, they're going to leak the other two. Because, in fact, there are 10 Best Picture nominations. They're not going to let you know.
Oh, wow.
Keep an eye on the news on Thursday or Friday before the Oscars. I can reveal here for the first time, because I do have the insider information, the two final nominees for Best Picture are Annie and The Hobbit 3, and the award is going to go to The Hobbit 3.
Oh, you're actually telling us the Best Picture.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it's going to be an upset. It's going to be a surprise. I mean, anyone who's an insider who knows their stuff knows it's not a surprise. Of course, The Hobbit was critically acclaimed, one of the greatest series ever to take place on a screen. They kind of wanted to play with the outrage that the public would have when it appeared that The Hobbit wasn't being nominated. And so people have been mad. You see on blogs and on Facebook and just listening to conversations on the bus, you hear people who are saying, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to tune in if The Hobbit's not nominated or Annie's not nominated.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why a couple days before the actual awards, they're going to say, oh, hold on. These movies were nominated. We just didn't announce it yet. So tune in. And you're going to see the greatest ratings Oscars ever had.
Because they teased at the last second,
yep,
two more movies.
Just like a good movie would do.
Yeah.
And, I think it's brilliant. And I'm really excited to see Peter Jackson step up to the plate and pick up another Oscar and get on with his career making great movies.
And I know you're a big fan of the franchise and you've been really a champion of these movies as they've come out over the years. And it's kind of when I know you made a point of saying when the final movie in a series comes out, then it's usually the one that cleans up at the,
yes,
at the awards. So this,
exactly,
is sticking to that template. You've explained, and because you also you've made a point on the show of saying, and this is something I've kind of kept an eye toward, is that when the final James Bond movie happens, then that's the one that'll clean up awards wise.
All right, I'm going to give you another scoop. They actually already manufactured the Oscar for James Bond, and they have it in a vault just outside of Hollywood in Van Nuys. They're so confident that movie will take home the Best Picture Award. They're just waiting to see when that actual final Bond movie hits the streets. Now, I hope that award stays in the vault for another 1,000 years, because I do not want to live in a world where there isn't another James Bond movie to look forward to. But I can absolutely guarantee you with 100% certainty that the last James Bond movie will take home the Best Picture.
So when they say this is the final Bond movie, that's the one that gets critically acclaimed as well as
commercially.
They're all
critically acclaimed,
yeah,
and they're all commercially acclaimed. It's just they don't get that magic Oscar touch.
I guess
that,
yes.
I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is a whole other thing,
Sure. Now, can you go into anything with the whatever you want to call it in terms of Tim Heidecker, who was the host of On Cinema for the entire run, but then it fell apart. I guess as a fan of the show, it got very messy very fast, and there was a lot of personal stuff and
acupuncture. I don't know if you saw some of that. He had an acupuncturist on the show and was trying to turn it into a health show.
Mm-hmm. And then he also had a motorcycle accident.
Yeah, I mean, if you call it an accident, he fell off the motorcycle when it was parked at a Walmart parking lot. I mean, it's not a very glamorous accident. That's not, like Easy Rider or something.
Sure. Well, exactly. It's not a moving accident. It's technically an accident, but it's not like he was going 80 miles an hour on his motorcycle and
he was going 0 miles an hour. I mean, I don't know if the kickstand sometimes on these things is faulty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what it was, but, Tim's a great host. I mean, and he created the show. I will always salute him for bringing me on. I mean, he didn't nowhere to find a movie expert, and he knew that I had the expertise and I have the collection. Now, I just recently entered the Guinness Book of World Records for watching 501 movies in 501 days. When I first went on the show, I didn't have that feather in my cap, and he saw something in me, and so I'll always salute him for doing that. It's just that, you know, he has his issues and things. He's moved to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and is very involved with the motorcycle community there and with water rights and this sort of thing. Just doesn't really have time to keep up on the movies.
Sure.
And that's what the show is supposed to be about. And so I think he felt with some of his personal problems, he fathered a child out of wedlock and that type of thing. You know, those were taking over the program, and it would get out there where we had less and less time to review the movies, and we were getting complaints every week. You know, I don't care about this or that. I just want to hear what movies I should go see this weekend. And so it was a mutual decision that, I should take over the show, and he should go on to do bigger and better things out there in Jackson Hole.
We have Greg Turkington, the host of On Cinema, on the line, and he is the host of the sixth season of On Cinema, which starts tomorrow over at adultswim.com. And Greg, I'm actually, there's a call here that I'm being told to take.
Okay.
I'm gonna just put this through. Hello?
Yes, hello. I have a question for Greg Turkington.
Can you hear the caller, Greg? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. It one bumped the other one. We're just trying to get the lines square here. Let me. Should I lock it? Let's see here. I'll
movie
see it's doing
questions
that.
Questions you have, trivia, okay. Anything like that.
There we go. We have it. Them. Caller, are you on, caller?
Yes. I have a question. I wanted to know what Greg Turkington's favorite actor is. Who his favorite actor is?
Oh, wow, there's so many. I would probably say...
hey, it's actually Tim Heidecker. I'm goofing on you.
Oh, Tim. Oh,
Tim Heidecker.
I guess my favorite actor for tonight is Tim Heidecker, because he really fooled me there. That's some good acting. Good job.
Hi, everybody.
Good to hear from you, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah. Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's going good.
I wanted to get you.
Yeah, I got...
That was good.
We have Greg on the line kind of talking about the new season of On Cinema.
Yeah, listen, I just wanted to call in and wish you all the best. And,
thank you.
You know, wish you, hold on, let me just say what I want to say. I want to wish you all the best and wish you luck. This show means so much to me, and I feel like it's in good hands. You, if anybody's going to take this show into the future, it's going to be you. And I know that we always haven't gotten along, and we've had issues, but tonight is the night to say good luck, and I'm going to be watching, and I think the On Cinema family is going to be watching, and we're all hoping for the best.
Well, you know, I've got some good news. We finished taping the episode about an hour and a half ago, and I can honestly say it's the best episode of the entire six seasons that we've done.
Wow.
By far.
Okay, well.
So that's great. It's great to know. It's great news. And thanks for your congratulations. I hope you enjoy this one as much as the rest of the audience will.
All right. Well, I also just want to say, you know, I don't know if people are fans or familiar with the Decker web series. The Decker ebook just hit the shelves on Amazon today. So I encourage everybody to go there and check that out. That would be great if everybody supported that.
Now for
I know, Greg, you want to see that do well.
Fantastic. Decker is my second passion. It's a great movie that was put out there on the web in chunks, and I get so much acclaim for it, and it's a real feather in my cap to have been involved. And I just pray that Decker 2 is on its way, that you've been working on that out there in Jackson Hole.
Mm-hmm. Now, for people who don't know, Decker, Tim Heidecker, Decker is your franchise. What would you call it? Like an action franchise?
It's a web series that is a movie as well, because you can watch it as a movie. It's a mini series, and it's one of my passion projects. I've written it, directed it, produced it, star in it. And it's really sort of my a tip of the hat to some of my favorite films, the Jack
James
Reacher
Bond.
Series. Not James Bond as much, but you know, spies and that sort of even Chuck Norris and guys like that who are combined action with international intrigue. Except the twist is that we're fighting Arabs such as Taliban, and you know, sort of making it more up to date. So
sure,
I see a lot of that because of the whole PC police that clamps down and makes you sort of everybody has to, all the bad guys have to be a certain, they can't be Arabic and that sort of thing. So we changed that, and we've got a great cast. We've got Joe Estevez, and of course Greg Turkington was in the first season. Mm-hmm. And I'm right now trying to figure out a way to make a second one because, you know, it's very challenging to make anything these days, let alone things that are so up against the grain.
Uh-huh.
But that's what I'm doing. I'm in here, and I'm calling you guys from the from Jackson Hole. I'm outside of a Starbucks here. And
Jackson Hole, Wyoming?
Yeah.
Which is it's like a getaway for a lot of famous people.
Well, there's that element to it, but where I'm at, which is about 15 miles south of the resorts and sort of the lodge and everything, is a little more of your sort of classic Americana, middle of, you know, flyover country, as we say, because to support the tourism industry and the resort industry, you know, there's a lot of working class folks that have to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in that community. I actually have a little bit of ranch land. I have 25 acres of ranch land that I built a homestead on, put a little cabin, little sort of a home kit that I put together, and that's where I'm living. And it's challenging. I mean, going from living in Hollywood and doing the whole Hollywood scene, and now sort of living off the land, so to speak, has been really, really tough.
Mm-hmm. Do you miss? But you, if I and I know this, I don't know how sensitive you are about this, Tim, but it happened on the show, so I think it's fair game to bring up. Is during the fifth season of the show, you seemed preoccupied with things other than reviewing movies on the show, and it.
Well, right, yeah.
And you had a motorcycle accident,
right.
It tipped over on you. Is that what it was?
Yeah, you know, I can't really talk too much about that because that's sort of an active lawsuit right now.
Against who is it an active lawsuit?
Are they suing you? Are they suing you at Walmart for causing a?
Like I said, I'm not getting into it. I mean, it is with Walmart. There was issues about the signage, the handicap signage, but I can't get into it. I'll admit though that at that period I was going through a lot of stress. My diabetes was flaring up, and bad head injury, and I was slapped with a paternity lawsuit, which I'm still involved with as well. And the plan was get out of town, get out of Dodge. So I've been in Jackson Hole, and now that's becoming an issue because if you look up, if you Google something for me, Jackson Hole water rights, and it's insane. It's just like it's going to blow your mind. Everybody should know about this because it could happen to you unless you live. You know, if you live in New York or something like that where you kind of have a strong municipal waterworks system, but where I'm at, you know, I've got my 25 acres, and it sounds crazy, but it's true. I literally don't have access to water because everything is off of wells.
Uh-huh.
And there is the land I bought, which I'm in a lawsuit with this guy now too, is there's no wells on that property, on that acreage.
Okay.
You know.
So it's really – you're – It seems like you, and this is not to put any kind of judgment on anything, Tim, it seems like it's a very kind of contentious, kind of very, very aggravated time for you in a lot of ways. Like you got fed up with Hollywood and you got fed up with the show. And
right.
You got fed up with, you know, as a fan of the series, I mean, I hope this isn't saying anything out of line. You got fed up with Greg, and it seemed.
Well, I think it's about priorities. You know, I respect and appreciate the work Greg does, but movies are not
all the segments
that I, that,
and things. I bring in a lot of outside segments for the show, you know,
right,
that I produce in my own time.
The point is, life is about more than movies, and I know that's going to make Greg feel uncomfortable to hear that, but you can't just keep talking about movies all the time. I like movies, and I like talking about them, but it's not the only thing I eat, sleep, drink, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So that was frustrating to me, and, you know, along with the other things, it was time for me to go. But you know, I'm still involved very actively with the On Cinema family, which
mm-hmm.
people go, huh? Because what are you saying? You're not the host anymore. In a lot of ways, they're my children, and they look up to me. And so I'm supportive of On Cinema. That doesn't mean I'm going to be sitting in the host chair. I'm going to be involved.
No.
I'm going to be kind of the puppet master, you know, with the strings. You can almost picture somebody up in the clouds and the strings coming down, and
not for the actual show, though, because I did everything on this premiere episode. I didn't even have a conversation with Tim about it, and I brought in my own expert, my own segments and things like that. So I would say that those strings were cut.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you two might be in two different places in terms of that.
Just think about it this way. Yeah, hold on. You have to think about it this way. I gave you the show, right? Now,
right.
That doesn't mean it's not mine. Because it's always been mine, and it always will be mine in a way, because it's something that I created, and it's coming from me. That's why I'm so invested in it. That's why I care that it does well. That's why I gave it to you to take care of. Not to go keep going back to this idea of God in the sky, but, you know, you're a caretaker of the universe that I created.
But that's like George Lucas. He gave the Star Wars to Disney, and Disney now owns Star Wars, and Lucas has nothing to do with it. He's got no input, and he's just become sort of a joke.
I mean, did you have input into this first episode, Tim?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'm completely hands off. I don't want, I don't have time to deal with it.
So, but then you're
not interested in dealing with.
I'm not sure how you could consider yourself like a puppet master then.
In the grand scheme, in sort of the overall holistic approach when you're looking at On Cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be protective like a father is of his flock. The shepherd is of his flock. If I see the brand becoming damaged, I'm going to obviously do something about it because that's my reputation.
Okay, that's fair.
If you see the first episode
and
it's better than any of
the
episodes you ever did, I mean, if the first episode's better than all the other episodes put together, I think the right thing for you to do would be to walk away completely at that point.
Well, that's a whole different conversation, and that would be amendments to the contracts and stuff. You should look at the paperwork because it's pretty clear in respect to, you know, where the real decisions are being made. But I didn't want this conversation to go in this direction. I want nothing but the best. Like I said at the top of the show or the top of this call,
uh-huh.
I want nothing but the very best for the show and for you and for all your listeners as well, Tom.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're going to love it. Because we now have two experts on the show, and it's 100% focused on movies, and the audience is going to be so happy for once. There's not going to be any disappointed viewers
that
we've had throughout the run of the show.
You talk as if the past five seasons were something that was unsuccessful, and I do resent that a little bit. You keep saying, you know, finally the audience is going to like, but you don't understand that you're where you are now because of the work that I did to get us here, okay? So you're throwing everything we've done, everything we've built under the bus for what?
No, I'm saying it's you've built a solid foundation, and now I'm erecting a castle on that foundation.
No.
Well, that's pretty extreme. I mean, no offense to you, Greg, but Tim kind of was the star of the show.
Yeah,
he was the host.
What
There's
people
no
watch
star. The
week.
Stars are in the movies. This is a movie review show. You have a host and then you have a resident expert. That's the format of these types of shows.
No, I understand that. But in terms of the hosting, Tim was like the attraction, the thing that made the show happen to start with.
Well, he's the best host of all time. I will give him that.
That does not gel with this perception that you, when you say finally the audience is going to be happy and I've made the best show of the entire series, you know? You can't sit on both sides of that one.
It feels like there's a lot of bad blood running between you two guys.
I just think it's just a misunderstanding. Let me put it this way. If Tim had a show where he was hosting the opening of a soup can, it would be a good show because he's a good host. But sometimes people want movie expertise. They're not tuning in just to see a great host at work. They'll say, oh, my God, this guy's the greatest host I've ever seen, but I really want to know more about the movies. I want to know who's going to win the Oscar and that type of thing. When the host is sidetracking on talking about his acupuncture wounds and things, that's where the show was derailed for a lot of viewers.
I understand what you're saying. There's no hard feeling, Tom. There's no bad blood between us.
Oh, there's none between us. Don't worry. With me and you, we're square.
Between me and Greg.
Oh, between you and Greg. Okay.
And I don't. We are hot-blooded guys. We're very strong opinions. Sometimes it goes there.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I have a ton of respect. That doesn't mean I don't have a ton of respect for him. The point I just want to make is, Greg, I'm going to be watching you like a hawk on this. That's all.
Well, I think you're going to love it. You know,
because it's your franchise. Ultimately, you look at it as it's your baby. Tim,
it's always going to be my baby, no matter what happens.
Uh-huh.
I don't care if, you know, 40 years from now, and some young kid hosts, Haley Joel Osment, somebody like that, is hosting the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be watching it like
then.
A hawk.
Mm-hmm.
And I reserve the right. Let me make this perfectly clear. I reserve the right to take back what's mine.
Wow.
And I don't think. Need to. You know, I was offered.
I don't think I will either.
When this show bit the dust because Tim ran off in a snit, I was offered a deal to do my own show called Our Cinema with Jimmy McNichol. And we looked at that deal and I said, you know what? I'm loyal to On Cinema. I don't want Our Cinema. I want to keep On Cinema alive. What Tim has done is incredible. There's never been a show like this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep it going. I don't want it to die. I don't want all his hard work to be for nothing. And so, yeah, I agreed to continue on and to accept Tim's generous offer to take over the show. And what I plan on doing is taking it into newer heights and making it something that we can all be proud of and a place for people to finally get some movie expertise.
Well, look, I can only say, as a fan of the entire run, I'm looking forward to the new season, but I have to say there's something between you guys that is very – it's just like I don't know. It feels like it really kind of it's probably a good thing that you're each on your own path now and kind of carving out your own thing, because it sounds like it might be that you guys just can't share the ball anymore. And
I just want to ask one favor for Greg for tomorrow's show. If he could please plug the Decker ebook on Amazon. You're in it. It does you good. You wrote the foreword. He wrote the introduction. I wrote the foreword. It's a really great novel. It's a novelization of the Decker One series. Please mention it on the show tomorrow.
Well, we already taped the episode, so the episode we finished taping an hour and a half ago, and I didn't know that the book was out an hour and a half ago. Now, I can make sure to tweet about it and to tell everyone I see to buy that book, because it's a real achievement, but it's too late for tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, it's too late, but I really love the book.
Where else am I going to promote it? Where else is that book going to get promotion? If not,
well, how about
on
we get together and we'll start filming season 2 of Decker and maybe work into the script some plugs for the book? like maybe the book goes missing or something.
No, we're not brainstorming Deckard 2.
And Kingston has to find the book. You know, Kingston has to crack the code to get into a safe to get that book out.
I'm not doing that with you. No,
this
don't talk about Deckard. You're not allowed to talk about Deckard anymore right now.
Okay, so that's off limits for him. Wow. Well, guys,
you're treading on thin ice already now.
I have to say, this is not the turn I thought that would happen for kind of. I was excited about the new season of On Cinema, starting tomorrow on Adult Swim at adultswim.com, and now it kind of feels like. I hope I'm able, as a fan of the show, to watch the show without seeing this stuff kind of cast over the top of it.
No,
know what I mean?
Things are good. I mean, Tim's got his motorcycle buddies. I've got my movie
I'm not doing a motorcycle
everybody's
thing
happy.
Anymore. No, I'm done
really?
With that.
What happened?
Yeah,
why are you done with that?
Some guys here, and a very quick story. I got my ass kicked. About a week ago.
By who?
By
motorcycle guys?
Yeah, biker guys. These guys who think they're tough shit. Mm-hmm. And came at me pretty hard. And I didn't break anything, but I got hurt pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's tough out here. I don't have a lot of people on my side.
Well,
As people, they keep saying, Mr. California, I changed my registration. I've changed my, got a new driver's license. Everybody has this chip on their shoulder. They think I'm this Hollywood guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, I was in the post office the other day and I got pushed. I got
mm-hmm.
shoved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're calling me gay and this and that. Mm-hmm. And it's just.
It's rough out there.
It's hard. And I got to go to Walgreens to get water. I'm bathing in Dasani.
Uh huh.
You know.
Well, Tim, I.
I'm sorry to bring that into this conversation.
No, it's definitely yeah.
I gotta run.
I hope you're safe because.
Is there a Dollar Tree there? Because you can get like a gallon of Niagara water for a dollar.
Yeah, I'm looking into that. There is one. I don't think
you're bathing in Dasani.
I gotta go.
Very,
security guards looking at me.
Like
he's gonna kick my ass.
Okay. Well, be safe, Tim.
Good luck. Good luck, Greg, and thanks for letting me call in, Tim. I really do have to go.
Of course.
Thanks for your support, and let me know if you're in town. Maybe we can get together at Carrabba's or something and talk about the old times. Hello?
I think he's gone.
All right, well.
Well, Greg Turkington, that was different, I guess.
Tim's a very passionate guy, and he's mm-hmm. always brought a lot to the show, and it's mm-hmm. good to catch up with him, and hopefully he tunes in and sees what the rest of the world will see in this new mm-hmm. season, which is that it's the premier source for movie information.
All right. Well, people can check out On Cinema at AdultSwim.com starting tomorrow, season 6. And, Greg, congratulations, and thank you for the movie scoops also. That was very exciting.
Yeah, thank you. And also, you know, let your listeners know, I mean, you can do this anytime when I'm off the air or whenever about the world record that I broke late last year for watching 501 movies in 501 days. I'm very proud of that. And we are going to have a banquet at some point this year to celebrate. All the fans are going to be invited.
All right. So people should check that out and get ready to celebrate you for your accomplishment. And they should also check out On Cinema tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 9:30 or 10 a.m. Eastern, AdultSwim.com and YouTube.com also will have it.
Cool. It's very, very exciting. Best of luck with the season, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tom. And you've got the same name as Tom Cruise, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's something I, you know, not that I take pride in it, but it's something I think about, so.
Yeah, it's
thanks.
Pretty cool.
Cool.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye. That was exciting. Greg Turkington and Tim Heidecker checking in there. I'm going to tell you about this band called the Black Hollies.
the best show back. Who did we just hear? How about that? The Black Hollies. The name of that song. Is that When It All Comes Down? I don't think that's the name of that song. I think the name of the song is... I think it's Wake Me When It's Over. Either which way. It's taken from, again, Cherry Blossom Clinic from 2014. From the Free Music Archives over at freemusicarchives.org. And we are going to see who's on line one at 201-332-3484. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Yes.
Hi, this is Josh up in Boston.
Josh in Boston.
That's right.
This is the organist, Josh?
That's right, Josh the organist.
How are you, Josh?
I'm doing well. How's it going?
It's going all right. We're having a good time down here doing the show. Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's going on with you?
Well, I was calling because I was listening to the last episode, and you were talking about the Foo Fighters playing at Citi Field at the Mets Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, I wasn't sure if you knew, but I guess they're doing a whole big summer tour. They're playing a lot of ballparks and other huge places.
Okay.
And they are, in fact, doing two shows this summer at my place of employment at Fenway Park. And they're... didn't know if you had heard about the opening acts that they had selected for those shows.
For Boston?
Right.
I don't know who is opening for the Foo Fighters at Fenway Park. Who?
Yeah. I thought you'd get a kick, especially, you know, because you were talking about Katy Perry at the Super Bowl and how she had special guests chosen and that sort of thing. So they have, for one of the shows at Fenway Park, they have selected Mission of Burma be the opening band.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool and strange. I mean, I'm not sure what it'll be like to see them in a gigantic place like that, but...
That'll be fantastic to see Mission of Burma play Fenway.
Yeah.
They can kind of... Where do the bands face? I saw one thing. What did I see? The Dropkick Murphys play their thing on Palladia, I think I saw.
Okay.
The Dropkick Murphys.
That was a smaller one.
Live at Fenway. Part of Fenway.
Right. I'm guessing they probably drew about 5,000 for that, so they had set it up so that the ticketed seats were just in the bleachers, and the stage was facing the right field bleachers. But usually when they have these gigantic shows, there's an enormous stage that takes up pretty much all of center field, and then the entire infield and the entire seating bowl is, the ticketed area. So I imagine that's how they'll do it.
All right. So it's Mission of Burma, they can't be the only band opening.
They are the only band opening for one of the two nights. The other night is a young British band called Royal Blood that I don't really know anything about. But
that's interesting. That's
Mission of Burma and Foo Fighters, double bill.
I feel sorry in a way. What are these Mission of Burma fans? What are these Foo Fighters fans going to make out of make a Mission of Burma? What are they going to make of that?
Hopefully some of them will dig it, but probably a lot of them will be in line for beer at that juncture of the evening, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I could see that, that just seems like they're missing a band on that bill somewhere. You know what I mean?
You mean like another Boston band, or?
Like a band that those meatheads are going to want to see.
Hmm.
You know?
Well,
Like, yeah, they should, I don't know. I mean, I've seen. I'm trying to remember the shows because they do a couple of shows there every summer, and I'm trying to remember who some of the openers have been. And sometimes they have been either more that kind of head scratcher thing where you're like, how does this appeal to the fans of the headliner? And then other times where maybe it makes a little more sense. It's some of each, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just kind of a, you know, I don't know what went into this decision, but you know, the Foo Fighters are doing the thing right now where they're tipping their cap to the
bands from
like
their
the TV show that they did, going to all these different cities and recognizing the influences from those cities. So it feels kind of related to that in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't they get the slap shot?
There you go.
Right, or maybe. Like Scruffy the Cat, someone like that.
Yeah, that would be superb.
Or why not like the Pixies? Just make it almost like a co-headlining thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, the Pixies, even in Boston, the Pixies aren't that big at this point.
The Pixies are big everywhere, Josh. So, Josh, you are the organist for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, that's correct.
You're the guy at the home game.
Yeah.
Who plays...
That's one of the classics. You can't exclude that one from the repertoire.
Let me see. I'm going to name some songs, not by title, but by song. You tell me if you do these songs.
Okay.
Do you do that?
I have done that one, and I don't want to disappoint you, but I will say that I very rarely do that for Red Sox games at Fenway Park. I've done it sometimes for other sporting events that I've worked at.
Do you do...
That one is not considered sort of part of the...
Red Sox...
The Fenway tradition.
All right. Do you do...
Again, I've done that one for like a couple minor league games, a couple of hockey games. A friend of mine almost disowned me when I played it one time at a minor league game. He was very upset because I guess he just really hates that song. But as far as I can recall, I don't think I've ever done it at a Red Sox game.
What's the go-to song, the one you know you have in your back pocket that you're going to get these meatheads to get on their feet? When you look down at them, that sea of caps, and you're like, this will get these animals dancing.
I mean, you know, it depends. If it's a Sunday afternoon game, there tend to be a lot more kids there, so that's when you might play something you know, more kid-friendly. I'm trying to think of a good example. I got a ton of mileage this year during day games out of that theme song from the Lego movie, which I still haven't seen the movie yet, but everyone I know who had young children and their young children were telling me, you got to play the song, and every time I did, the kids would dance around. If it's like a Friday night, you know, drinking kind of crowd, you know, as it gets later into the game, whatever is something that that people can sing along to, and it's easy to sing along and remember the words, or maybe you don't even have to know the words. Like that old song Tequila, for example. That's an easy one because it just has the one word. Everyone just shouts Tequila all at the same time, and they hear the little melody bopping along. And
sure.
That's one that gets people going on a drinking night sometimes.
What's a New England centered song that New England centric song that you know will get everybody? What do you play? Roadrunner? You ever play Roadrunner?
Roadrunner tends to get people going. That's one the DJ and I both go to that one from time to time, and there seems to have been a little bit of a more latter-day kind of groundswell in popularity with that song. Because I think for a long time it was more of an underground hit or a cult hit, but it's pretty ubiquitous nowadays.
They actually played it at the Super Bowl the other night after New England won. So it's, and there was like, I don't know if you heard about, there was a bill in the state legislature to try to get it passed as the official rock song of the state of Massachusetts. The bill did not pass. There was a competing bill to try to get Dream On by Aerosmith. And I think in the end, it was just a stalemate.
Dream On?
Yeah.
Guy's high out of his gourd, hallucinating. That's going to be the state song?
Well, somebody, some legislator wanted it to be.
I don't know. What about I would maybe go with a Cars song. What about a Cars song?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely, you know, I have Cars songs in the repertoire. This was the first, this year was the first year that baseball had sort of extensive instant replay. And so I had, at some point I had put together kind of a short list of, you know, songs to play to sort of kill time while you're waiting for the umpires to watch the replay. And, you know, the Cards had a hit song called You Might Think I'm Crazy, and people seemed to like that one when I would play that one when the coaches would argue with the umpires to watch the replay.
When you'd be like, that's
got that weird sort of angular, new wavy kind of riff.
Now, say I show up at a Red Sox game, right?
Yeah. Yes, that sounds great.
Next season, would you play, you, because you played the Best Show theme on the game where the Red Sox won the World Series, which was crazy,
right.
In the stadium, you played the Best Show theme.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. I'll forever be grateful to you for that.
That was fortuitous timing. I forget exactly what it was. I think it was you had just announced that the show was going to go off the air. So it was it worked out timing-wise.
Would you ever, and you know, you don't even have to answer this because I feel like if you answered, you could get in trouble with your bosses. So I don't even want you to answer. I'm just going to say, what if you found a way to pay tribute to a certain New England boy who wrote a song called 1980s Rock and Roll, G.G. Allen.
Oh, gosh.
Or when the Yankees... What if the Yankees come to town and you play New York City Tonight by G.G. Allen? Nobody would know what that is. That's
I confess I don't know that second one. The first one I'm familiar with. I've heard it before. You know, I do sometimes get crazy. You know, I take a lot of requests on Twitter, and sometimes I get people saying, oh, you just put, you know, some one sort of nutty person out there, like, you should play a G.G. Allen song, and my, you know,
you like,
instinctive reaction is like, I'm not going to do that.
No, you like having your job. Of course you're not
going
to do that.
I mean, but I do, you know, I like playing people's requests, you know, when they're good requests, especially if it's a better idea than whatever I, you know, sometimes I'm trying to come up with the right idea and I can't get it and somebody else comes up with it for me and that's like a great gift, you know.
Well, I'm going to come up this year.
Well, that would be wonderful. And, Tom, I will absolutely play, you know, a special request of your choosing for the occasion.
What if you played Bad Company? Right?
Yeah, we could do that. There actually is there's a relief pitcher. I don't think he's on the team anymore. I think they just recently let him go, but he was on the team last year. And that was, you know how the relief pitchers have, like, they request the song that they want the DJ to play when they come into the game, and it's like a tough guy song.
Yeah.
And somebody had that as their song when they came in, but it was not the Bad Company recording. It was a cover version by a band called Five Finger Death Punch. I don't know if you know this band.
I've heard of them. The
music sounds, I think, kind of like what the name would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very sort of ultra-aggressive in your face kind of presentation of that song.
But well, I don't like that at all.
Sort of, that's just sort of an aside, since you mentioned the song. But
stomp.
We'll keep that one in the rotation as a possibility.
I would stomp out of the stadium if I heard Five Finger Death Punch's version of a Bad Company song playing.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll warn you because they do give the ball players a lot of leeway in terms of the songs that they want to hear, and you know, some ball players have perfectly fine taste in song selection, and then others, it's, you know, what you might consider maybe a little questionable. So you might have to, you know, just prepare yourself for that a little bit.
All right, fair enough. Now you.
But I personally will, you know, do what I can to see to it that you thoroughly enjoy the musical selection.
Well, Josh, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you. And
thanks, Tom.
I wish you a fair evening.
Same to you.
Bye. All right. Let's see who's good here. Who's good here, Mike? All right, let's check it out. Besho, you're on the air.
What up, douche? Are you up all night to get lucky?
Oh, no. It's only one person calls me douche on these things. Is this who I think it is?
It is if you think it's Darren.
Uh-huh, I did think it was you.
Did you like what I did?
What's that, the song you just did?
Yeah, it sounded like I was Daft Punk, didn't it?
Well, I mean, not really, but it sounded like you were trying to sound like Daft Punk.
Wait, so you've heard of them?
Have I heard of Daft Punk? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's this group everyone, including me, loves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They really got people talking.
yeah, they got people talking. That's, I gotta say, Darren, you're a little late to the Daft Punk party, I guess.
What?
Yeah.
I can't be.
Well, that album is like a year, like at least a year old, and that was everybody was talking about that back in like 2013, I think that was.
They were?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well. Huh. For people who don't know. This is Darren Ploppleton, who I work with at my day job over at Consolidated Cardboard.
Ow!
What's wrong?
I'm sorry. Hang on. I just stubbed my toe on one of those pebbled garbage cans. Oof, man.
Oh, that hurts.
I mean, I know those things help put this town on the map, but man, when you bang your toe on one of those, it really hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like banging your foot against a shark's back upper molar like Rob Schneider did in Jaws.
Rob Schneider? Rob Scheider. No, Roy Scheider was in Jaws. Not
the
Rob.
The guy who said this boat needs to be way bigger.
I think you're even getting a different guy mixed up here. You think you're all over the map here with that one.
I don't think I am. Who do you think I'm doing?
You said Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
Rob Schneider was not in Jaws.
What was he in?
He was in The Animal and Deuce Bigelow.
Looks like you need to go back to rock school. I think you're thinking of Eric Burden.
No, he was in The Animals.
Yeah.
Eric Burden.
I know.
Was in a band.
Yes, I just took you to school.
Well, The Animal was a movie.
It was?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't get it. I don't want it.
Wow, you really, whatever it is, you are.
Pretty adamant, right?
It is not your thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, what about the Super Bowl? Did you watch it?
I did, yeah.
Well, you know, I stopped following football because they wouldn't let Aaron Hernandez play anymore, but I made an exception Sunday night.
you stopped watching because not because he played in the league and it turned out he was a He committed murder. Oh, well, allegedly, but he's Darren. He's an alleged murderer.
Yeah, the key word is alleged. You know, it hasn't been proven. Mm-hmm. And I think he should be given the benefit of the doubt because, A, this is America, mm-hmm. and, B, because he's physically big and also famous.
Okay, so he should be – that's what earns him the benefit of the doubt?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what, though.
What's that?
I didn't realize how many Rastafarians are in the NFL. I mean, I wasn't sure if I was watching the Super Bowl or a Steel Pulse concert.
That's a little out there.
It's an astute observation.
It's an astute observation.
It is. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I might call it a different kind of observation, but...
Well, you know, it reminds me of that time that we started skanking at the Police concert, and uh-huh. then someone in the upper balcony nailed us with those fully loaded chili dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That was something. It was like the guy buys two of them,
uh-huh.
and he must have just walked right from the concession stand and immediately fired them down on us.
Yeah, yeah.
That was nuts. But, you know, we didn't care. We were just grooving to Sting and the other two guys, right?
Yeah, that was one of those memories that you kind of try to slide to the back burner a little bit.
Can I ask something?
What's that?
Do you still have your ska beanie? You love that thing.
Look, again, being a teenager is a tightrope to be a
right?
teenager.
It sure is.
You try different styles and you try things and maybe they work. Maybe it's the thing that works for you for the rest of your life. Maybe it's the thing that you end up, stuffing into the bottom drawer of your dresser back at the house you grew up in.
Speaking of, man, I wish we still had that tape that we did back in 85 of our version of Pink Floyd's The Wall. Man, we really worked hard on the new bridge wall.
Well,
I hate that it's gone.
Yeah, Darren, I gotta say,
are you sure you don't have a tape?
I definitely. I don't have a tape, and I'm glad I don't have a tape. The less said about the what we were doing back then. Again, you're a kid. You're trying things out, and the less said about that, the better.
Well, hey, look, I don't know if I should bring this up, but I saw your mailman Skip yesterday at Bickering Yoga.
Well, you do Bikram Yoga?
No, Bickering Yoga.
Bickering yoga.
Yeah.
What is
it? It's where you pair off in a hot room with a partner, and then you yell at each other while doing yoga. It's super intense.
Bickering yoga.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought it was just like a hot room.
Oh, it's a very hot room, and I'll tell you, the conversation gets really hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's bad. But I'll tell you, I was not paired with Skip, but he was there, and he got paired with Iron Wilkes, you know, from Iron's Reggae Challenge and Iron's Prog Rock Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
They got into it.
At Bickering Yoga.
Yes, and at one point, see if you can picture this. Skip was whipping Iron with Iron's waist-length dreadlocks. But then Iron started strangling Skip with the straps of Skip's mailbag.
Okay,
yeah, Skip brought his mailbag to yoga.
All right, I'm trying to picture this. My mailman Skip brings – well, first of all, my mailman Skip does yoga, which is a surprise. Right? That almost is enough right there that my mailman is a yoga enthusiast. But he's doing this kind of aggressive – mm-hmm. yoga where he's yelling at other people.
Yeah.
And he's in a fight with Iron Wilkes, who everybody knows from just he's been on the scene forever in Newbridge. And but he's whipping Skip is whipping Iron with Iron's own dreadlocks?
His waist length dreads, yes.
And then Iron's beating Skip with his mailbag.
Yep.
Wow. That's just, it sounds like the opposite of what the point of that whole yoga thing is supposed to be.
It is, and it really turned me off of that whole scene to the point where I think I'm going to try new Broga this weekend.
But you're going to – what is new – new Broga?
Yeah, haven't you heard of this?
No. No, what is new Broga?
Well, there's Broga. You know, that's like yoga for dudes, and that's the whole thing that's been in the news lately. New Broga is this other kind of yoga where they blast like Korn, Bizkit, Puddle of Mud, and those other great groups, and you wear like these backwards baseball caps, oversized sweatshirts, and these shorts that are made of super thick wool, and it makes you sweat your crotch marbles off, man.
New Broga. That's so you're. You're what? It's like that new metal is playing?
Yeah, yeah.
The worst music imaginable.
Wait, what?
Well, you are a fan of that stuff?
I am, yeah.
I had no idea.
It really gets me going.
Puddle of Mud.
I can't wait to sweat my crotch marbles off, Tom.
Again, that's the second time. I hoped you wouldn't address that again and say that all again, but you... You seem to be strangely proud of...
Well, it's part of their motto. It says, you'll come here and you'll sweat your crotch marbles off, Tom.
It says Tom in the...
Comma, Tom, yeah. I guess it's like saying bud.
Oh, I hope that's not a thing that catches on.
I don't know.
That Tom would be the next, just like, chief or... Guy.
Buddy. I love when people call me Buddy, Tom.
And it's always funny. They call you Buddy, and they're probably not...
They're not trying to be a wiseacre.
Well, yeah. No, not at all. No, they think they're actually... It's probably like the... I'm sure a lot of friendships have started when somebody calls the other guy Buddy.
Well, when someone does it to me, you can bet an enemy ship is setting sail. See how I turned it into like an actual ship?
Yeah, it wasn't. Sure, it wasn't just friendship. You went with the ship part of it more than the just as much as the friend part of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Let's get real for a second. All right.
Uh huh.
How you doing? I know. It's been a weird.
Year. It's been a tough few weeks. You know, just. Stuff going on, and I had this guy from my elementary school who, like, I barely remember showed up at my house on Saturday. It's Billy.
Billy?
Yeah. On Saturday morning, showed unannounced at my door.
Just showed up?
Yeah, just shows up. He said he was driving from Texas to Vermont, like passing from Texas, like up and over, and his car breaks down in Newbridge, and that I'm the only person he thought of to get a hold of, or he could get a hold of. And then it's Saturday morning, he knocks on my door, and then I'm stuck with this guy all day and all night on Saturday.
Doing what? You just had to, like, hang out with him?
Just while he's getting his car fixed, it just blew...
A whole day and night.
Blew my entire day and night.
Oof, that's a bummer.
Yeah, and he's like a... And it's like, look, I'm not trying to judge, like, appearances.
Right.
People's appearances, but it's like... Like, hanging around him was... He has a very odd... look, and it got a lot of,
like what?
Drew a lot of attention. Like, he had this big, bushy mustache, and he had this giant cowboy hat on, like, I guess it's like a 10-gallon hat.
Sounds like, who's the guy with the super deep voice? Is that Sam? That's not Sam Neill, is it? It's Sam something. What's his name?
Sam Elliott?
Does all the commercials for the cars, and he talks like that.
The guy who talks like this.
Yeah, oh, you do it really well.
I want to tell you about Coors.
Do him talking about, like, I don't know, who's the guy, G.G. Allen?
Mm-hmm.
Do that.
talking about G.G. Allen or
Well, like he's doing an ad for G.G.
Allen. Okay.
I want to tell you about a friend of mine, G.G. Allen. He's got a new record on Black and Blue.
Was that his label?
I don't know.
Something like
that. You're into that punk crap.
That's right, yeah.
He's got a new record called Public Animal Number 1 on Black and Blue Records, G.G. Allen.
So, yeah.
I like that.
Oh, thanks.
Anyway, sorry. I'm just...
So, but yeah, he had that kind of hat. And It was just odd. And then it's like if the weekend wasn't bad enough to, like, to cap it off, like, my cable and my cell service and my internet were all out.
What?
All weekend long.
Really?
Yeah. Bizarre.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, when do all three things happen like that?
Never. I wonder if it was like a rolling blackout?
I don't know what it was. It lasted all weekend.
Oh, that's a bummer. That's rough. You know what you should do?
What's that?
After a weekend like that, just, you know, just treat yourself. You should take a day off yourself and, I don't know, go to the movies or something.
Okay. That's not a bad idea.
I'll tell you what. I saw A Most Violent Year Sunday. Have you seen that thing?
A Most Violent Year? No, I have not seen that yet.
Oh, my God. It's great. It's without a doubt the most gripping movie about a camel hair coat you will ever see.
I have no idea what you're talking about. It's about a camel hair coat?
Yeah. It's a story of one very driven camel hair coat's rise to the top of the New York City heating oil industry.
Wait, this is the movie that has, Oscar Isaac is the guy's name? He's like the lead in that movie?
Oh, you know, he might be the thing that wears the camel hair coat.
The thing that, okay. Oh, this is so stupid. Darren,
what?
I'm sorry. You watch this movie, it sounds like another one of your kind of baked film festival kind of things that you always seem to have.
Well, I smoke a little dube sometimes before I go to the cinema.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't this time.
You weren't high.
Well, maybe I was high on my victory. I don't. Oops.
Wait. Why are you saying what victory?
It's nothing, man.
No. What
else were you doing this weekend?
No. You said you were high on your victory. What victory? What did you win something?
No, look, seriously, it's nothing. It's nothing.
No. You can tell me. Come on.
What's the best G.G. Allen album?
What's that?
What's the best G.G. Allen album?
They're all great. It's hard to pick a best one. But no,
cool.
don't change it.
I'll get one.
What's that?
I'll get one.
Okay, you should. Just, you know, check them out. But that's not what we're talking about now, Darren. You said something about a victory that you were celebrating. I mean, is this, did the Pin Pounders win the championship or something? Because you're in the, I know you're in the league for the, or the team for Consolidated Cardboard.
No, that match is this weekend.
Okay, so it wasn't the bowling.
No.
Look, just tell me what you won.
Outstanding performance on a comedy podcast.
What's that?
Outstanding performance in a comedy podcast.
Wait. What? Wait, say that again?
Outstanding performance in a comedy podcast.
I actually have outstanding performance in a comedy podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You won that.
Yeah.
You won outstanding performance in a comedy. Where did you win outstanding performance in a comedy podcast.
Look, man, I should go. My beans are burning.
No, I thought you were outside.
Well, I was, but now I'm inside and my pizza's burning.
You said your beans were burning.
Oh.
Come on. What's going on, Darren?
Nothing. Stop grilling my ass, man. Who are you, Pol Pot?
Just be straight with me, Darren. Who gave you an award for outstanding performance in a comedy podcast?
It was just some dumb award show that happened on Saturday night.
An award show on Saturday night. What was the award show?
Newbridge Comedy Awards.
What's that?
The Newbridge Comedy Awards.
The Newbridge Comedy. When and where were the Newbridge Comedy Awards?
Sorry, at the Newbridge Comedy Pavilion.
Again, you keep mumbling. I don't know why you. It's like you mumble and then you say it clearly. Where was it?
Saturday night at the Newbridge Comedy Pavilion.
I don't even know what the Newbridge Comedy Pavilion is. There's a Newbridge Comedy Pavilion?
Yeah.
How did I not know about this or the show? Or how did I not know?
I don't know. I mean, look, it was just a stupid little thing, Tommy. It was like a nothing event. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the Newbridge Comedy Awards.
Right?
What is this? This is award season now. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, yeah. I guess it's time for the Grammys and then the Oscars and the Golden Globes.
Right.
And the Newbridge Comedy Awards. All the titans.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, please, what heavyweights were on hand for the Newbridge Comedy Awards held at a place that I did not even know existed until you just mentioned it?
Well, the recipients of the awards were all from Newbridge and mm-hmm. the other towns that make up the Quint Cities. But if you mean who was on hand to present the awards, trying to remember. Todd Barry, Zach Galifianakis, Eugene Merman, John Benjamin, Vanessa Bayer, John Daly, Jen Kirkman, Mark Maron, Chris Elliott, Andrea Martin, Adam Resnick, Martin Short was there.
Oh my God. That's like those are like real people.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some musical interludes too, all throughout the night.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, who played at it?
Carl Newman, Kurt Vile, the Gas Station Dogs played, Coco Haynes, Monster Magnet, who else? Big Dipper, Pout, Corey Harris's Mother 13 featuring Corey Harris. Ben Gibbard did a couple songs too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is. Now I'm getting angry at this.
Why?
Because these are all people. Everybody you just named in both categories have been on this show.
Really? They have?
Yeah. Yeah, they have. Every single one of those people.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know what to say about that.
Well, okay. All right. Who won awards at this thing?
Let me think. Try to remember. Some of the categories were like funniest movie, mm-hmm. and that went to Half Animal, Part Party Machine.
Uh-huh.
Which is, of course, the film that was shot in Newbridge last year and was written and directed by the Laugh Pack.
The Laugh Pack. Who or what is the Laugh Pack?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's only the hottest new film team in Weirdowood.
Uh-huh.
Peyton Reed.
Uh-huh.
Jason Wallner, Phil Morrison, and McGee Jr.
McGee Jr.?
Yeah.
Not McGee.
No, his son. He's 13. Why?
The Laugh Pack.
Yeah.
Ugh.
What else was there? Royden Ziegler won Funniest Actor in a Movie for Rambaki 3, The Search for Mickey's Hat.
That's the plot of Rambaki 3.
Yes.
Which,
yeah.
For people, if there's anybody who doesn't know about the Rambaki franchise.
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but it's, I can't even remember. It's like half Rambo, half Rocky.
Right, right. What else was there? Best Newcomer, that went to Jell-O Man for his comedy album, Let Me Put My Shot in Your Mouth.
Jell-O Man.
Yeah, have you heard of him?
Yeah, I have heard of Jell-O Man. That's, okay. Yeah, sure.
Best Comeback was Judge Montgomery Davies for his stand-up show, Pumped for Justice. It's really good. It's very funny. You wouldn't think he'd be funny, but he is.
Ugh, that's troubling. That's the
Bishop Pablo Fontana won Funniest Online Presence.
The holy man.
Yeah.
Who's like the pop culture guy, I guess.
They call him the pop culture pontiff, yeah.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
His tweets are so funny, man. And you know, he's almost up to 2,000 followers.
2,000. He's almost at 2,000.
Yeah, not yet though. I think he's at like 1,700.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, fingers crossed for him. I guess is like. I mean, look, I'm like 400 away from 100,000 followers.
Tom, it's Darren. You don't have to lie to me, okay?
I'm not lying.
You don't have 100,000 followers.
No, I have 99,600.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
What else was there? Funniest TV series. My brother won it. How cool is that?
Your brother won Funniest TV series.
Yeah. For his show Hammerhead. Have you seen this?
I have not seen Hammerhead.
Well, I can best describe it as Louie. If Louis was a middle-aged divorced father of two who sings in a New York City hardcore band, it's on the Shout Network.
And it's kind of, is it kind of stylized and moody the way Louis is?
Very moody, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at one point he gets into a fistfight with Harley Flanagan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And then John Joseph comes to break it up and he kills John Joseph.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Wow, so that's... That's
pretty moody, isn't it?
That's, I would say it's more than moody. That's I would say that's not moody at all.
Right, right. Well, what else was there? Funniest Sports Show?
Mm-hmm.
That went to Troy Renfro's Locker Room Shenanigans.
Okay, he was a football player from, pro guy who, he has the funniest sports show. Okay.
Yep.
And who, I never thought that guy was even a little funny. But
are
now,
you serious? Oh,
yeah.
He's great.
But now he's winning funniest.
Oh, yeah. And when like, someone does something, like, crude or something, he has the sound of a jockstrap snapping a buttocks. Is it buttock or buttocks? A bear buttock. Sounds weird, doesn't it? Is it buttocks?
It's not singular. I've never heard it as a single buttock.
A bare buttock. Well, it's almost like a pant, a single pant.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
That is stupid. I think it's buttocks.
I think it is, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what else? Hot Rockin' Ronnie Fuqua got Funniest Radio Personality.
Really? Hot Rockin' Ronnie. A name.
He's a journeyman.
A guy who claimed for 15 years that I stole his radio show from him in 2000 over at WFMU. He claims I stole his show, which was not true at all.
Well, he said it so many times for so many years that it's become the truth. I'm sorry to have to say that to you.
Oh, is that how it works?
I think it does, yeah.
Just keep saying it enough.
Yep. But the most exciting award of the night was, of course, Entertainer of the Year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who won Entertainer of the Year?
Rather wrong.
Just stop mumbling with this. You end up saying it clearly anyway.
Your brother, Ron.
Oh. My brother, Ron.
Yeah, and he also got Best Impressionist for this thing he does called The Joe Show. It's so funny. You have to hear this thing.
Oh, no. Oh, I've heard it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. Yeah, The Joe Show, which he ripped off from me.
What?
That's all mine.
He says it's all his.
Yeah, well...
Joe Namath and Joe Walsh doing a talk show.
Yeah, no, that's mine.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I do know about it, Darren.
Okay.
Uh-huh. What did you win for again?
I won Outstanding Performance in a Comedy Podcast.
Uh-huh.
For my show, D-Plops Pop Slop.
What is that again?
D-Plops Pop Slop. It's my podcast where I talk about pop culture and all the things that bug me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the episode that nailed it for me was the one a few weeks ago where I was ragging on Billy Joel and I got this hashtag started called Billy Joel Stinks.
Yeah, it's one of my things. Another one of my things.
You mentioned Billy Joel on your CB radio show? I honestly haven't listened since it started up again.
Sure. Okay. Well, join the club, I guess,
okay.
With some of these. It just, yeah, it's not a CB radio show.
Okay.
And I've been doing this Billy Joel thing for a long time.
Hmm.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, well, I do know. And,
okay. Well, don't get mad.
Look, I just can't believe that the best show doesn't get a single, all these things you just named, this show, mm-hmm. a Newbridge award show.
Right.
And this program does not get a single award.
Well, that's not true. No, the best show garnered 3 Yuckle Doodles.
Wait, what's the award?
The Yuckle Doodle.
A Yuckle Doodle.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like the Oscar for these
mm-hmm.
awards. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Well, what did the best show win?
Well, it won best theme song.
Uh huh.
By the Theme Weavers.
Theme Weavers.
I guess,
yeah.
It, right?
Yeah.
Gary the Squirrel got best sidekick.
Okay. Great.
And funniest associate producer went to AP Mike.
AP Mike wins funniest associate producer.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mike was unable to make the ceremony, so Patton accepted for him.
Wait, Patton Oswalt was there?
Yeah, he hosted the whole thing. Why?
Because I saw him recently, and he never mentioned anything about this.
Yeah, he was in Newbridge for at least a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. He was workshopping material at Yuck Nuts,
which is the place out on Route 4323.
Yeah, it's that comedy / male strip club.
Yeah,
have you been there?
No, I haven't.
Very weird, very uh-huh. weird place.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So
for
he
a guy
would,
to go to.
So he was there.
Yes. Yeah, and. Tell you, man, he did this epic 5-hour appearance on Brother Ron's Reel the Best Show.
Uh-huh.
He said it might be the best thing he's ever done in his whole career. And I'll tell you, man, he passed out in the middle of it because he was so drained from all the hard truths that Ron squoze out of him.
Squoze?
Yeah.
I didn't know squoze was a... Is that a form of squeeze?
It's a past tense squeeze maneuver.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, yeah. You might want to check that one. You might want to talk to a teacher about that one, Darren.
Maybe I am a teacher.
Well, I know you're not, but...
I'm not. I know.
I know you're not. We work together.
I know.
Maybe I'm a teacher.
Thought I could sneak that by you.
We sit across from each other every day.
Well, you know what I do on my breaks. Maybe mm-hmm. I go teach somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So did you
I
and...
Don't.
Well, you, I know you. I know you don't.
Okay, well, don't yell.
No, it's just very frustrating for a thing to be in Newbridge and for all this to be going on and everybody on this show to clean up like that.
Well,
and well, did you guys do, you and Patton do anything while he was in town for what you said 2 weeks?
Not really, just dinner every night, I guess.
Oh, just dinner every night.
Yeah, he'd take everybody out for burritos and enchiladas at Los Amigos.
Oh, I don't like how you say that, but okay. Took everyone. So Patton Oswalt took everyone out for burritos and enchiladas.
Yeah. And then we'd all drive over to Bayonne to party into the morning at Mass's Tavern.
Really?
Yeah.
Mass's Tavern, the bar that Mike works at sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what. One night, Miss Newbridge was there.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, this is between you and me. We made a love connection.
Okay.
And, look, she may be half my age, but tell you one thing, she really took me to thigh school.
Ugh.
Oh. It was something else. And I'll tell you, man, I DJ'd until dawn every night.
Mm-hmm.
So much. It was so much fun. I'd bring my newest vintage 70s and 80s disco 12-inch singles, and I'd spin them into the wee hours.
Wait, what? Disco?
Yeah.
What is it with everybody suddenly... Everybody's into disco all of a sudden.
Disco rocks, Tom. I've always loved disco. You know that.
No, you've never said one word about disco our entire life.
Well, that's neither here nor there.
It's neither here nor there.
No, it's here nor there.
No, it's not. It's here nor there.
No, it's like you're consoling a woman named Nora. Like, it's like, come here, Nora.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts her head on your shoulder, and you go, there, there.
That's not what it is.
What do you think it is?
It's neither here.
Right.
Nor there.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it makes all... Okay. Never mind.
Okay.
So...
Are you mad?
A little, yeah. Yeah, a little. So, you sounds like you just had a real blast.
I'm not going to lie. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I did cocaine a couple times, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Right.
I got to get more into that.
Sounds like a great plan. Yeah. That sounds like an awesome strategy.
Okay. Well.
Oh. I'm just picturing you guys hanging out. All night long.
It was fun, man. I'll tell you one thing. Mike is quite the host.
Mike, yeah.
Yeah. He has this private area at Mass's for special guests that he calls the Chiku Room.
It's really fun. It sounds like a real party you guys had going on. And I just... am having a very hard time wondering how literally everyone, but it's just like it, and I just can't even wrap my head around how there's a comedy, a Newbridge comedy award show, and it. I have no association to it or nothing to do with it. And I mean, if anybody in Newbridge should have been involved in the Newbridge Comedy Awards,
right.
I mean, it should have been me.
Tom, I'm going to come at you with a hard truth. All right. Listen, Kern Pharmaceuticals, which was the sponsor of the Newbridge Comedy Awards, they knew that if you were nominated for something and you didn't win, you would go absolutely ape and most likely turn the Newbridge Comedy Pavilion into a car wash.
Uh-huh.
And there's no telling what kind of damage you could do if your hackles were sufficiently raised. I mean, you see their point, right?
No.
Well, conversely, if you did win, Kern was afraid that you'd use your acceptance speeches to settle scores with the hundreds and thousands of people who've screwed you over the years and kept you from living the life you feel you've been deprived of. That's an odd sentence.
Yeah, yeah. That, So that was what was behind.
Well, yeah, and basically the consensus was that you would cast a pall over the entire evening. And honestly, nobody wanted to deal with it, especially Jimmy Strauss.
Who is Jimmy Strauss? I've never heard of.
Seriously?
I don't know Jimmy. Why would Jimmy Strauss care about me? I don't even know who that is.
Well, Jimmy Strauss, he's the guy that was directing the Comedy Awards for the Shout Network.
Uh-huh.
He's Trenel Strauss's younger brother.
Oh, okay. So he's related to the – he's in the Strauss family.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's probably best known for that controversial, hard R-rated 1988 sex comedy about the PTL Club.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Does 'Em.
The PTL, which is the Jim Baker thing.
Yeah.
The Baker's Dozen?
No, Baker Does 'Em. It's a play on Baker's Dozen.
Ugh.
What?
I don't – well, you didn't – I don't know why I'm getting mad at you. You didn't name the movie.
No, no. But, you know, I mean, he's good, though. He did all those great sitcoms back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Uh-huh. Like what?
Oh, off the top of my head, The Reggae Kid, Little Stinkers, Bible Todd, Earth, Wind, and Fido, Shutterbugs. Two in the Bush. What else? Dog Court, Horseshoes and Ham Grenades, Tight Faces, Hot Sody, Uncle Tupelo, Computer Babies.
Hey, Uncle Tupelo?
Mm-hmm.
That was a sitcom.
Yeah, it was about this kind of weird uncle who lives in Tupelo, Mississippi, and he claims that he's got some connection to Elvis. Didn't last long.
Uh-huh. All right.
Half an episode, I think.
Half an episode?
Yeah, they pulled it in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault, though. What else did he do? He did Lord Almighty, Secretary of State Baseball, The Breeders, Fluff and Fold.
What is The Breeders?
What?
The Breeders.
Oh, that was a show about, what do you call it? When surrogate mothers.
Mm-hmm.
It was a comedy, yeah. Didn't last long.
Okay, okay.
1.5 episodes.
Okay. So yeah. It outlasted Uncle Tupelo, at least.
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Pope Steve the First, Maple Syrup, Gym Rats, Daddy's Little Ghoul. What else did he do? Prison Tattoos, The Meat Men, Jeff Hitler Esquire.
The Meat Men. Mm-hmm. There's all these. Okay, I mean that's a. You keep naming bands as shows.
What? No, it was about these butchers.
Uh-huh. The Meat Men. Okay.
Yeah. Keeping It Real, Pizza and Pepperoni,
mm-hmm.
Fresh Panties, Jam on It. I dropped my wallet again.
I'm not even going to ask you
about that. Oh, no.
What?
I dropped it in my doggie's food bowl.
You dropped your wallet in your doggie's food bowl?
I did, yeah.
Uh-huh. Is it dry or moist in there?
Moist. It's very moist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you drop your wallet into your doggy's moist dog bowl.
I did.
Well, the bowl's not moist. The food is moist.
Well, not my wallet's moist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, until Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath comes and eats it.
I don't know what that means.
That's my dog.
What is?
Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath.
Your dog's name is Tony Iommi?
Show my dog some respect. It's Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath.
Oh,
you mutant.
Mutant.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Fourth and 99 he did. That was a great sports sitcom. Lawn Darts, Bonnie and Clydesdale, Exile on Wall Street, Motorcycle Face, Joey Kramer and Company, These Dogs Are Barking.
Well, with Joey Kramer and Company.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the Joey Kramer from
Aerosmith.
From Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
The drummer.
Yeah.
He had a show.
Oh, he did, yeah, yeah.
A sitcom?
Yeah, it lasted 5 seasons.
5 seasons?
It did, yeah, until the end when he was, he committed a crime and then he gets up to play a show and they have turned his drum set into an electric chair. They only showed it once.
Uh-huh. That seems to be a thing when they're gonna zap them. It seems like they don't want those episodes staying in circulation.
Well, Tom, you know why he got zapped?
Why?
He was a bad guy. The baddie.
Uh-huh. So they zapped him.
Yep. What else do you do? Hot Dog Patrol, Minor Threat.
Uh-huh. What, Minor Threat is another show?
Mm-hmm.
About the band Minor Threat?
What? There's a band called Minor Threat? No, it was about these children who were just irascible.
Okay.
But that's just to name a couple of the shows that he did.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't even understand still how I didn't even hear about this thing. It's one thing that I don't win something.
Right.
Fine. That's neither here nor there. But it's like, for me, to not know about it is like a whole other level here.
I don't know. I guess, I don't know. If I were you, I'd maybe take it up with Maurice Kern specifically, or, oh, no.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
Maurice Kern, the pharmaceutical, Kern Pharmaceuticals.
Oh, he's going to kill me for this.
Uh-huh. Why?
Look, when Maurice Kern made the decision to ape-list you from the awards, you know, he wields a lot of power. And basically, he just made everyone who was nominated or even involved in the show to take a vow of secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's even heavier than a vow of silence.
A vow of secrecy.
Yeah. So, essentially, if anyone told you about the awards, they'd be publicly flogged by Horse from Jock Squad while wearing only a diaper.
Really?
He'd wear the diaper, which is weird to me that...
That's weird, because you'd think if somebody was going to get flogged,
yeah,
the point of the punishment would be to have them in
bare,
the...
bare skin, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah.
But he's wearing the diaper.
I guess he likes that. I don't know.
Well, that's his business.
I don't know. Anyway, Kern made some calls, and he had your cable, your Wi-Fi, and your cell service turned off for several days so you wouldn't find out about the Comedy Awards. I know, it's not cool.
Yeah, it's not cool. That is... Yeah, it's unsettling, I guess, is the only thing I can... comes to mind to describe it. That, you know, everybody would go to, like, extreme measures to keep this from me.
Are you mad?
Yes, I'm mad.
I'm sorry.
I just... you know, I mean, this whole thing happens on the weekend.
Right.
I'm nowhere near it. It's this giant blackout, my phone and my cell and my cable and everything's just cut.
Right.
Now, it turns out. And then, meanwhile, I'm stuck spending my whole weekend.
Right.
With this guy, Bill, it's like this guy from that I haven't seen that I don't even remember necessarily from elementary school, Billy, and I'm helping him get his car fixed and spend the whole weekend.
Just shot,
Yeah, while you guys, while we're, all this is going.
We're yucking it up over there.
Mm-hmm. Hold on a second there.
What?
Just noticed the bag in the corner. Hold on.
What is it?
No, this looks like... It's with Mike's jacket. Hey, Mike, what is this bag next to your jacket? What's that? This bag. Like, what is this? What's
cabbie,
in here?
The cabbie told me to hold that for him.
Uh-huh.
What's in it?
There's a cowboy hat in here. Hold on a second.
No.
What is it? What's going on?
No, there's a cowboy hat in this bag.
You said that guy Billy wore a cowboy hat.
Yeah, and then this bag also has an eye patch in it and a fake mustache. Right with Mike's stuff.
Oof.
Yeah. Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you something. And you just be honest.
Okay.
Was that you pretending to be Billy and wasting my whole Saturday?
Why would I do something like that? I got stuff to do.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh. I can't believe. Look, he can say what he wants to say.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait,
is that your...
Oh, I think... Oh, that might be Patton.
Oh, it's Patton?
Yeah.
Honking? He's back in town?
Yeah, he's back in town. We're going to go see A Most Violent Year. He's obsessed with that camel hair coat, too.
Uh-huh. Oh, there. Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely him. He has two horns.
Uh-huh.
Look, I got a roll, okay?
Well,
things will be better, I swear.
Darren, I just got to say, none of this is cool, and I'm really not happy that you would do that. And I'm really not happy. I'm not happy with Mike either.
I got to go. It's Patton. I got to go.
I don't know how Mike could do this to me, and I don't know how you could. Oh, he hung up. Okay. Well, great. Here we go. Mike. We are not going to speak of this. You're on the list. Just know it, Mike. Are you on the list, Mike? Yeah, you guess you are. You know you are. You're on the list. You're on the list, Mike. Billy. I thought that was weird. You kept drinking Coors all weekend. I shook it off. People, Mike, you got me? The phone number, 201-332-3484. All right. Got 15 or so minutes to go in the show. Who's good here, Mike? Four? Mike says four is good. We're going to find out. Besho, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
It's Susie from Jersey City.
Who?
Susie.
Jersey
City.
What's up, Susie?
Not much. How you doing?
Doing all right. You having a good time?
Great show. Having a good time, yes.
Thank you.
Getting a little late, so.
It is getting a little late.
My excuse for calling is because I noticed this week that your lowbrow show, Steve Austin's Skull Challenge, was nominated for a DGA award. Look at that. You're critically acclaimed.
The show, you mean that show, Steve Austin's Broken Skull Ranch or whatever it is?
Yes.
That one?
Yeah.
The one where he, because look, I've had a bad January, and I was looking for, and everybody says,
oh, I got to tell you, the best show helps me so much with so many things.
And I'm like, where's my best show? Where's mine, right? You know what I mean?
I've been thinking about it a lot this week. I've been trying to think of, like, your best show.
I ain't got none. There ain't no thing that's my version of the show that gives me the same solace and comfort that this show brings to others. I ain't got that.
Have you listened to Gilbert Gottfried? Obviously, you probably have, but I like the Gilbert Gottfried podcast.
I've listened to the Gilbert Gottfried podcast. I enjoy the Gilbert Gottfried podcast. But it's like, what am I going to listen to, 3 hours of him talking to Larry Storch?
I don't even know who that is, but I'm bad with names.
He's from F Troop. Do you know what F Troop is?
No, I don't.
It's just a dumb show. Don't worry. You're better off not knowing what it is. It's the kind of show that...
Yeah.
You know, people are just like, it's the kind of show that people had to say, hey, we need to change some of this stuff in society where it's white dudes playing like Native Americans, like covering themselves in makeup.
And I was at the Native American Museum this morning.
You were?
Yeah.
Was there anything about F Troop there?
No.
What if there was like an F Troop? What if it was like an F Troop wing at the Native American Museum? If it was just, and then people are like, wait, how'd this end up in here? The Hakawi?
Was it in
like
the 70s?
Their tribe was called, the show was in the 60s.
Oh. Okay.
And look, I only saw it in reruns.
I never even saw it in reruns. I've never even heard
But it's got this guy, Larry Storch, who is still alive. He's in his 90s at this point. And it had this guy, Forrest Tucker, on it. It was the two of these guys. And they had this tribe of Native Americans called the Hakawi. And their whole thing was like, where the Hakawi? Get it? Like, where the heck are we? Like that was the... That was the level of authenticity in depicting Native Americans. The Hakawi.
He sounds like a perfect guest for Gilbert.
Wait, what's that?
He sounds like a perfect guest.
He was on. Larry Storch was on.
Oh, he was?
He did have him on.
I gotta listen to that one.
You should listen to it. But yeah, this Steve Austin thing, I stopped watching that. That's a trash show. I can't do it.
I never saw it,
it's basically Steve Austin drives a golf cart and yells at people as they run through the world's hardest obstacle course. Imagine.
It sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I can't believe it was nominated for an award. That's reality.
Maybe because of the way where the cameras are or something. I that's the only thing I can think of. It's like, hey, we got a camera on this thing and watch the guy climb the rope.
Are they, like, covered in GoPros? And it's, like, on a picture.
There's some GoPro. I think there's some GoPro action. Well, the GoPro. It's time. Let's throw everybody. The GoPro, that's going to be the equivalent of, like, a star wipe 20 years from now. Everybody's going to laugh at how dumb GoPro footage looks.
I know. I got my boyfriend a GoPro for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it's pointless.
Well, for people who don't know, the GoPro is the thing you mount to your snowboard, and you get cool point of like POV footage.
I'm gonna throw it in the ocean and see if it comes back.
Just drop it in one of those charity bins. Drop your boyfriend's GoPro in a charity bin, Susie.
Put it down the sewer with like a light attachment, and then.
All right, you're on. Look, you do that. Maybe next year you're the one. It'd be you up against Steve Austin for the DGA directing award.
Thank you. I watched that other show that you recommended, The Chair. That was pretty great.
The Chair. That was a good show.
Who did you want to win?
Neither of them.
I know. I didn't like them either.
The Chair was a reality show my friend Paul Sims was telling me, watch. He's like, you got to watch The Chair. Everybody I've recommended The Chair to has loved it. And it's a show, basically, where they take us a movie script and two different directors interpret that script in their style. And then we see which movie wins. And the thing is, it has the one guy from Project Greenlight, the guy who that blonde dude.
Yeah.
And then it's got what's his face? Spock. Zachary Quinto, right?
Zachary, the one that did it, the one that backed out at the end.
You know, Zachary the Slap Quinto.
That was the weirdest part.
He's in the Slap now. He's in this new show called The Slap on NBC. NBC was running these things during the Super Bowl. They're running promos for all their new shows, and it's like the weirdest. It's like the weirdest network ever with these shows. It's like you're not sure if like they're parodies of shows that NBC would air at this point. There's a show called The Slap.
I know. Who watched the show no one ever sees?
So, yeah. So, this the Slap is this show where Zachary Quinto slaps a kid. And then I guess it's about watching him get in trouble for slapping him.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. What's season 4 going to be of The Slap? You slapped him again. You slapped him again. USOB. That's the fifth time you slapped my kid.
The back slap.
Yeah, I slapped him. Yeah, I slapped your kid. What are you going to do about it? He kicked me. Kicked me in the shins. Yeah, he kicked me in the shins 4 years ago. Maybe you and my kid might want to stop getting into tussles.
Because they would. Shame on me.
They seem to end with you slapping my kid. The Slap. How could you do more than two episodes of The Slap?
How did he get so morally against other movies?
Oh, yeah, because when you watch this show, The Chair, there's this one, the woman director, there's two directors. One is this woman who is like doing the most earnest, the most boring, earnest indie thing you've ever seen.
Neither of them makes
you want to jump into traffic, the idea of watching that movie.
Yeah.
But then the other guy is like some YouTube buffoon who like is famous for like YouTube video. Like what was his name again?
I don't know. Weirdo.
Oh, well, that's offensive. You were just at the Native American Museum today. You think you'd learn to not call names.
Anyway.
Hey, foe. So this this other guy turns the script into like this raunchy comedy. It's like a put on this thing. This one guy was like, the woman makes the most earnest indie movie that looks like trash, and then this guy makes like this dirty like teen comedy that just seems like beyond filthy. It's like, can everyone lose on this show? Is there a way everyone can lose? Can we all, we all, the only ones who won are the people watching it, because we're watching this, we're basically watching the end of the world, feels like, a little bit. So yeah, so they ran the slap, the commercials for the slap during the Super Bowl. They had, that, and look, that nationwide, everybody, the nationwide commercial. That was the best commercial I've ever seen. The nationwide commercial? That had a, they, if movies could have twists half as shocking as that commercial had, you'd be at the movies 5 nights a week. Because this commercial where the kid's like, it's like a kid, it's shot like a Steven Spielberg movie, and the kid's like, yeah, I'll never get to, take my dog to the park, or whatever the kid's saying, just like, going on an adventure with my dog. I'll never get to get cooties, because I'm dead. It's like a 10-year-old kid, because I'm dead. And you're like, what? I screamed when I saw it. They should have filmed people watching that commercial the way they film those horror movie things where, like, when they put the camera in the theater and they watch everyone jump. They should have shown people watching that commercial going like, "Oh!" The way they show with the, you know, when they have those like night vision cameras when they're trying to make you think a horror, like some crummy horror movie scary, so they like have it. They have, like, everyone's green in the theater, right? Who's this dimwit in the chat, man? Sebastian. Joke's on you, Tom. You willingly watch the Super Bowl. Yeah, I watch it every year. Yeah, you're right. Well, I should have been watching Life and Death of Colonel Blimp that night. You're right. Should have been, yeah, no. I watch the Super Bowl. Yeah, with everyone else. Because it's awesome. The Super Bowl's awesome. Katy Perry was awesome doing it. These people moaning about the music. It's Katy Perry. It stinks. It stinks so bad. You're like, hey, you're not 11. It's not meant for you. It's meant for everyone else. First of all, the Super Bowl is not meant for football fans. It's meant for everybody but football fans. But it's a spectacle. You sit there and you watch it. But that commercial, I cheered that commercial after I overcame the initial shock. The kid died. But man, I tell you, these New England Patriots fans, man, that's a touchy group. I was teasing him on Twitter. I'm teasing him. I've all bent at it. Hey, it's not cool that you're making jokes about because there's this guy, this alleged murderer, mass murderer, like the New England Patriots. People will talk. This is what I'll say. People talk. Oh, they had the deflated football. They deflated it. It was easier to catch. Oh, they filmed the other team's practice. Now, you know what the thing with the New England Patriots is? They had a mass murderer on their team. I'm going to say that one trumps knocking a little air out of a football. This guy's on trial right now. It's like they had American Psycho on their team. Everybody's going to talk about the football. They had this one guy. He's out there slashing everybody like it's, Death Wish 3 or something. That's what everybody should be talking about. The mass murderer that these guys hung out with all the time. I mean, I hope I go the rest of my life, and at the end of my life, I hope I can say, you know what? Turns out I never hung out with any mass murderers. No one on that Patriots team can say that, though. They all have to say, when they're laying there on their deathbed, they all got to say, yeah, I can't say that. I hung out with the mass murderer a lot. I threw a football and a mass murderer caught it. I would like make a play and then a mass murderer would go long and then catch it and then I would high five him. That's what they got to say. All of them, that Tom Brady, the guy with the one, he's the quarterback. He's in this, they showed the trailer for Ted 2. He's in Ted 2. Ted 2. Did he not see Ted 1? That was not enough of a heads up. Ted 2. If I was from New England, how can they stand that it's like minstrelsy. Is that what you call it?
Oh yeah, with the wicked horn.
It's like embracing the idea that your city. That people regularly depict your city as the dumbest place on earth in culture. It's not that way. I like plenty of people from Boston. I like plenty. I like the Josh, the organist. I like the Big Dipper. I like those guys. I like Volcano Suns. And that guy Gronk. Everybody talk Gronk. Do you like Gronk, Mike? Mike said he likes Gronk. There's a guy on the Patriots. I think his name is just Gronk. Does he have a first name? It's just Gronk, right? It's like Caveman. It's like he could have like the movie Caveman. Gronk. This guy looks like he looks like the kind of guy who would like steal your umbrella on the beach.
Sorry, bro. I didn't know it was yours.
Yeah, it's mine. It was my umbrella. That's my cooler. That's my umbrella and cooler.
Sorry, dude.
Gronk. I tell you, the NFL, that's a trash league. That's a garbage league. 10 years from now, the NFL could be like, not 10, I'm going to say 20 years from now, there's a good chance the NFL will be held in wrestling when these guys get booted out of like the WWF or WWE. Like, that's what the NFL will be. Like, held in, like, church parking lots. If it keeps going this way. The mighty NFL. That could go under. I'm telling you. Hubris. Hubris sunk the Titanic, my friends. Is that line in the movie Titanic? I have never seen the movie Titanic. That's not true. I saw one third of Titanic. I shut it off when he was like playing dice on the deck or something. Like, I swear, I shut it off maybe 10 minutes. Like, he was like, yeah, see, I'm going to get on the Titanic, see? And like, he played like a card trick or something and then got on the Titanic. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm done watching Titanic. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Eric from Hollywood.
Eric from Hollywood. What's up, Eric?
I was wondering if you had a chance to see the History Channel event, Sons of Liberty.
I did not see Sons of Liberty.
Oh, my God. It's wonderful. Actually, it's pretty bad. It has Dean Norris in it as Benjamin Franklin.
Hold on. What? Who's in it? Dean Norris.
Dean Norris. Hank from...
Big Jim Rennie from Under the Dome.
Yes.
Is...
Benjamin Franklin. Yeah.
Who does Jonathan Banks play in it?
I don't think he's in it, unfortunately.
He's not in it?
No, but he does wear the worst Benjamin Franklin wig you could imagine. And I watched it online, and they the whole thing is sponsored by Samuel Adams Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
So they make they make Sam Adams to be like this hunky young guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's swinging from the rooftops.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And hanging around with John Hancock. But meanwhile, all the print ads are for George Washington and Franklin. They're barely in it.
Okay.
One scene per episode they get.
How many episodes was it?
Three.
Did you see that commercial? There's a show, NBC has a show called AD, The Bible Continues.
Yeah, from the producers of The Bible.
I mean, are they just writing more of the Bible or something? The Bible 2?
The Bible 2, the part of the Bible that takes place after the Bible.
After the Bible. Those are the kind of jobs I gotta get. I had a good hashtag for tonight, too, but we didn't get to it.
No.
Next week I'm gonna drop a hashtag on your heads that's gonna track... like you've never seen. Get ready. So yeah, I did not watch Sons of Liberty. I got no time for that. Well, clearly I didn't watch it.
Just to see how bored the all the extras in the red coats look.
Mm-hmm.
The one of them looks like he's just waiting to play with his iPhone.
Mm-hmm. I got to open one of these Under the Dome cards. Jason, the studio dude, gave me a box of Under the Dome Season 1 trading cards, and I said I'd open a pack every week on the air. Here's card one, The Endless Thirst. It's got that red-headed woman staring at someone. Pilot, where there's the young lady who runs around with the... young man. There's two cards called The Endless Thirst, but they have different pictures on them. Do I have like a misprint here? Is this like the upside down airplane of Under the Dome cards? Did I just stumble on a $1 billion trading card? Then there's Thicker Than Water. And then there's a card that says Curtains, which is a picture of a hand touching the dome. And that is this week's Under the Dome trading card segment. Don't worry, there's 28 more packs to go through, guys. Thank you for the call, buddy. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Taylor in Denver.
Taylor in Denver. What's up, Taylor?
Well, I was going to chat with you about a possible hashtag, but it sounds like you've already got an idea for one.
Well, what's your idea?
Well, I thought it'd be best to keep it simple. So, Best Show, WTS, which stands for With Tom Sharpling.
Interesting. What about an AP Mike hashtag? Right?
That would work.
Because then nobody's gonna mistake it. I do like the WTS, but
I mean, it may sound a little too much like WTS, but maybe that's a compliment. I don't know.
No, that is a compliment. But this this, because we used to have Best Show for Life, which started here. That did not exist before that. And then then everybody who likes any TV show, I'm telling you, I'm looking at it right now. Best Show for Life, The Cosby Show. This guy wrote, The Cosby Show, Best Show for Life, number 4. And then he adds Bill Cosby on it.
It's like pollution.
Yeah. He adds Bill Cosby on it. So Bill Cosby now potentially will see that tweet.
Ugh.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think AP Mike, that might be a way to go. Because you're right. There's nobody like AP Mike.
I know. Does Gronk have a first name? It is. Is it just Gronk? I don't know. What do you think, Taylor? Is this Taylor who does
Gronk? You're saying
you do the show I was on, right?
I do. Yeah, yeah.
What's the name of your show again? Give yourself a little plug.
It's called These Things Matter, the podcast.
It's a great show.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we chatted about Led Zeppelin for a long time.
We did. It was you and some other. And what's the other fella's name? Russell? What's his name?
I think you called him Herb.
Herb?
Yeah, he's my friend Kevin.
Kevin.
Kevin O'Brien. Mm-hmm.
Kevin, yeah. But people know you're the draw of the thing, right? Of These Things Matter. He's like the Kamal of it, and you're like the Johnny B. of it.
I mean, I would never slander my brother in pod, as I call him.
Oh. Well,
but
where can people? Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry, he's a stand-up comedian locally, so he's well known in Denver.
Where can people hear These Things Matter?
Well, our website is thesethingsmatterpodcast.com, but we're also just on iTunes. So you can just look it up there.
And who's going to be on the latest episode?
Well, we have one coming out next week with a local musician, and she's going to be talking about the band Devo.
All right. What's a juicy one? Give me some. What's a juicy name you have coming up, or that you just
juicy
had?
Name. You know what, Tom? We're flying by the seat of our pants. We kind of book people week to week.
Right.
So I honestly have no idea who's coming up.
Right, well, who
so
did
maybe
you,
stay tuned.
Who did you have recently that is an exciting episode?
Well, fans of the show would probably like the Andy Kindler episode.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's all you needed to say. And what
he
did you guys
about the
talk
Grateful
about?
Dead.
You talked about the Grateful Dead. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Sounds like a thrill. To hear, and what did he talk about? Sugar Magnolia or something?
He talked about what it's like to be the preeminent pig pen impressionist in the country.
Shakedown Street? Yeah. You talking about Shakedown Street?
He talked about listening to it in Queens and wishing he was older so he could like it. He could travel with them because he was a little too late to be able to travel with them.
Well, Taylor, you know what I'm going to do?
Hmm.
Is listen to that episode.
No. Oh.
And thank you, madam, for the call.
Of course.
Final call. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Tom in Asheville, North Carolina.
Tom in Asheville. What's going on in Asheville tonight?
Not too much. I just wanted to call and make sure you were aware of the upcoming Prairie Home Companion cruise that was happening in March.
Ugh. Could you imagine? I did not know about that. But seriously, could you imagine, is Garrison Keillor on the cruise?
He is.
Oh,
yes.
Can you imagine being stuck on a boat? You know what they should just call that cruise? A cruise. That's all it would be. A bunch of old fossils walking around. The Prairie Home Companion cruise is otherwise known as a cruise. With barely Democrat people on it. People who are not nearly as liberal as they think they are.
It's out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
How's everyone doing here on the
home companion cruise tonight. This cruise ship is pretty far away from Lake Wobegon. It kind of reminds me of Mrs. Abernathy's rhubarb pie that she makes when the football team makes it to the state tournament. Every year it's a sign of good luck. She makes her rhubarb pie and gives a slice to the coach. And every year they lose in the first round.
Can you imagine being in one of the theaters with that guy?
And then leaving and then having nowhere to go.
I'm telling you, not that I say somebody should do this. I hope nobody ever does this. But I'd like to see it. I'd like to see somebody throw a balloon filled with ink right at the guy while he's up there. Because, you know, then he would be like, what happened? He wouldn't be able to figure it out. That'd be the best part of it. What just, him just puzzled. Or if somebody came with like a giant garbage bag filled with crickets, like live crickets. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Love to see it. Not that I want it to happen. I don't want it to happen. Wish I could see it. Maybe that should be a topic next week. What would you like to see that you don't want to necessarily happen?
Like a simulation.
Or just in theory, you want to run it through, but you're just like, nah, that's too mean or too rough to actually happen. I don't want that to actually happen to other people. But it's nice to think about. You know what I mean?
Like that show that asks what would happen if animals fought each other.
Yeah, just like that. Get off my phone. Shutting them down. Phones are down for the night. Guys, the best show will be back next week. January was a very rough month for me, obviously, and we're trying to piece it together and we're going to try to have a good February. We're already off to a good start. This is a fun show. How do you help the best show? Well, that's an interesting question. I'll tell you how you help the best show. Because we're starting off. We're not a part of some organization where we get to get plugged on all the other podcasts on a network. No, we're not. We're an island here. We're an island. Best Show's an island. Best Show's an island. So we got to get the word out. We got to let this thing grow. How do you get the word out? You listen. How do you help the best show? You listen. You tell people the show's back. I'm still shocked at the people who don't know the show's back. You tell other people. Listen. You tell people to subscribe to the podcast. You subscribe to the podcast at iTunes. You write a nice review over at iTunes. And you support the advertisers. We're going to have a little bit of advertising. Look how that went tonight. How painless was that tonight? How painless was that? That's where we'll be. Painless. Nice compliment to the show. That's where we're going to be. A lot of nice companies. You say if it makes sense to you, you support them, you use the best show tag. Like the Squarespace thing. You enter in best show. Then they know you came from here. That's how that works. But we got to get the word out. Let's beat that drum. I want to wish Patrick Roddy good luck. He's having his wisdom teeth out. I wish him the best of luck with that. I want to tell you that Jason Gore, the Dudio, as I call him, which I'm sure he loves, because it does not necessarily flow off the tongue, and it sounds stupid for about 6 different reasons. It sounds like daddy-o, which is terrible. It sounds like susudio, which is terrible. It's bad for a lot of reasons. Look, we don't choose these nicknames. They get chosen for us. Him and his comedy partner, Kristen Bartlett, do a show called The Dead Dads Club. And they will be doing it tomorrow night in New York City at the UCB Theater in Chelsea. Go see that. That's at 8 p.m. What else we got? We got the Sharpling and Worcester box set over at Numero Group. We got all the t-shirts over at StereoLaughs.com. We've been doing these live shows. Los Angeles, sold out. Chicago, sold out. New York, first show, sold out. Second show, sold out. Third show, sold out. Fourth show, here's the twist, not sold out. The Bell House. That show is not sold out. But don't sleep on this. Get your tickets. It will sell out. I don't want to hear nobody crying when it sells out and you don't got no ticket. Put 4 of these things on sale. We're at the Bell House in Brooklyn. And what else do I need to tell you about? Next week, I'm going to try something a little different. The show's going to end next week at midnight. And then I think we're going to try something crazy for a half hour after that. It's going to be a thing we can do as a semi-frequent little sideshow. I own the equipment. Might as well take advantage of it. We'll do something on that. We'll do a little thing next week that I call the half hour of power. From midnight to 12:30. The half hour of power. Unscreened calls with me and AP Mike and whoever else is around in here answering these calls. The half hour of power. We'll try that out. We'll see how that might be. It might be one and done, as they say. Or it could be an evergreen that 60 years from now, we're still talking about the first time the half hour of power started. Remember that night? The half hour of power started? But next week we will do the half hour of power at the end of the best show. In the meantime, I'm going to play something. Let's see if I can find something here on the Free Music Archive to play on the way out. Here's a song by my bros, the Hank Four. Everybody, good night. The best show will be back next week. Thank you to everybody for everything. And do all those things I told you about. Just do all of them.
It's a brand new song. It's called Garbage Star.
Here's Hank Four. See you next week.